much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey! Is anybody out there? Is this on? Is this mic on? Is this thing on?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What would you do to improve race relations in the U.S.? Please be specific.
What I would do to improve race relations in the U.S. is get more races grouped together and be able to be with each other I think what we need to do is bring...
I would pay $1 million to know what you're saying right now.
And now...
Hey, Allie. I'm starting my own taxi service. It's called Puber. You want to ride?
Our feature presentation.
Man, that is not the way to start a show.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 23rd of July.
So, Beer Mug is in Hawaii right now, so he's getting paid, and he's got the free food and the luau and the parties.
Yes.
And then he's shooting a cameo in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's there all week.
Yeah, he's going to be there today and tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Paid. Yes.
Right.
What's your question?
I just want to confirm that that's the straw he drew this morning, and this is the straw that we drew.
That's what happened.
Being on the radio at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's good. Listen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. We do have a big show today. We have a lot of good stuff coming up. And generally I come in and we talk about a story, something in the news that maybe you guys haven't seen. But we can't wait to talk about Sharknado, right? I know we have the director coming in the 7 o'clock hour, but we can't wait until the 7 o'clock hour to talk about Sharknado.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, spoiler alert, if you have not yet seen Sharknado, it's going to be spoiled because how can it not be, right?
Right.
Sharks in space.
Yeah.
Like how – first of all, why didn't they save that for Sharknado 4?
That's what my first thought was, they're already burning off the sequel.
Yeah. Yes.
To 3. How do they do that?
Allie, how much did you see of Sharknado 3 last
probably
night?
Probably only 45 minutes, and then I had to call it a night.
How many minutes too much was that of seeing Sharknado 3?
44. Okay. Yeah.
When the first segment ended, where Washington, D.C. gets destroyed, and for some reason, I don't even know where to start, but for some reason, the tornadoes that pick up the sharks that form the Sharknado, they don't pick anything else up but sharks.
Right.
They don't pick any kind of fish or debris or anything like that. Just it's only sharks, and it's millions of sharks.
Right.
It also is a storm that doesn't involve any rain at all.
Correct.
Right. Completely rain-free. And somehow it destroys every building that it comes in contact with. It doesn't just rain sharks from the sky, but somehow the Lincoln Memorial gets destroyed and the White House gets destroyed and the Washington Monument gets picked up and thrown. Like, how does that happen? Like, how does a tornado pick up the Washington Monument and throw it?
A lot of force behind that.
A lot of force behind that, Bean.
I mean, I'm sure that scientifically everything in Sharknado 3 is sound. I am just not smart enough to understand it, I guess. Right? So Washington, D.C. gets destroyed, and President Mark Cuban and Ian Ziering are the only two who seem to survive the White House invasion of sharks.
Right.
And they use everything. They use guns and
the gold
lasers.
The gold chainsaw that he won.
The gold chainsaw. They use everything they can to kill a shark. And when that sequence ended and they were Iwo Jima-ing the shark with a flagpole,
yeah.
I thought, if this were the end of the movie, wouldn't that have been an awesome movie?
Standing O.
Right? Like 15 minutes in, you go, I've seen Sharknado 3. I don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Wait, had Ann Coulter already surfed on the portrait by that point?
Yes.
Because that, for me, I was like, I'm in right now.
Okay, strong.
Excuse me. Ann Coulter and Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
Sorry.
Pulled portraits of Lincoln and Washington off the wall and surfed down a staircase full of mother effing sharks.
Now, the sharks are super angry, but they're not in the tornado anymore. So that's weird to me that they were just flying through the White House hallways and downstairs and upstairs and every which way.
Yes, and why can they breathe out of water? Can a shark breathe out of water for as long as he wants to?
No.
I thought sharks have to be in the water.
They do. They also can't go in space, Bean.
You're really this.
Because scientifically, I'm certain that the movie is sound. They couldn't put it on TV unless they had already gone through all the science. So I'm saying I learned so much about sharks because I didn't realize they could even do that.
It's science.
And how, like when, again, spoiler alert from Sharknado 3, and I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But how did four different sharks take off Frankie Muniz's limbs one at a time, one right after
another?
That
was pretty sweet as well.
How did four different sharks
come down
at the same exact second to kill all four people on the set of the Today Show? Like, how did they coordinate that through a tornado?
Yeah.
You have a lot of questions.
I have too many questions.
Right.
It sounds like...
Yeah, that's right. Do they have, like... shark flow charts in the tornado where they're like, here's where you're going to
go. Yeah, they line up.
Yeah.
They line up and then they go, all right, Today Show crew, go.
But like in the case of the Today Show crew, that's four sharks who come through a rooftop,
right
through a building in New York, and they all come down within 1 foot of each other to kill four people at the same time.
Correct.
Like it's almost like I can't even picture that really happening. You know
what?
You've got to though. I mean, you saw it.
You saw it happen.
I did see it.
And it didn't happen early enough in the movie.
I know how you feel about.
Oh my God, Al Roker.
All right. What about?
He needed to die from word one.
What about when Finn?
We're calling it the Feast Coast.
Oh my
right
God!
There, boom.
There were so many puns.
Yeah.
There were so. What about when? Now, Allie, I'm sorry you didn't get to this part in the movie, but at some point, Finn and his super hot sidekick Nova, who apparently can fly any airplane.
Yes, that's correct. She's
at
learned.
At some point, they crash and all of their clothes fall off as they crash, except for their underwear and lingerie.
Yes. So the the amount of time between crash landing a jet in water and them coming up in slow motion in their underwear is 3 seconds.
Sure.
I mean, they really got out of that jet quick and shed their clothes for their slow-mo.
Well, your mom always does say, always have clean underwear
that's
in
why.
Case there's an accident.
That's why.
So Nova's bra and panties stayed on.
Right.
But Tara Reid, this will be my last question,
right.
Tara Reid gave birth to her baby inside a shark in space, yet her pants stayed on.
It's science.
Right? Like she got cut out of that shark and her pants were still on, although she went into the shark's mouth in her astronaut suit.
Yes.
Somehow she was able to get out of that while she was inside the shark, hurtling down through space.
She had the baby safely in the shark while falling out of space.
And while wearing pants, though.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe she gave birth and then put pants on.
Yeah. She was able to do all that in the amount of time.
Man. You weren't there.
I was not there. That's true. But the shark didn't burn up coming through the atmosphere.
No,
everything
was
fine. They were protected
It looked like it was had some burn marks on it.
Singed.
Yeah.
Okay. It was. All right.
It's
so
all right, though.
So I guess it's possible.
Yes.
I guess it's possible. All right.
Science.
I may need to go back and revisit it because I'm not sure. I'm not sure I tracked with all the plot points. But we can ask some of these questions of the director when he comes in later today too.
I'm sure
he's got the flow chart that Allie was talking about.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee Show, shall we?
Yeah, we're gonna have a summer splash.
Sure. As Bean just mentioned, we have the director of Sharknado 3, Anthony Ferrante, in the studio today. We have many questions for him. We may keep him all day.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he's coming in. I know it seemed weird that we had the director the day after the movie, but now I'm so glad.
So many questions.
Well, we were making jokes off the air earlier in the week, like, why are we having the director on after the movie instead of to promote the movie?
Right.
And you're right. It's so much
better.
It's
so much better.
And let's be honest. This movie needed no promotion.
That's true.
None.
True.
That is true. Also on the program today, we're going to talk to Jim Rome. As we do on Thursdays. We got Dr. Drew as we do on Thursdays. We have Thanks for That Tweet, Bean.
Well, we may have to bump that for some Sharknado
Doubt
coverage.
It.
But
Doubt it. We have dumpster diving. You get your food from dumpsters. It's a thing. Who knew? American Ninja Warrior. Contestant dumpster diver. Proud dumpster diver. And we have your tickets for the red carpet world premiere of Vacation this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
How was your Sharknado 3 experience last night?
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
What?
I've got a very busy life. I can't just sit around watching Tara Reid give birth inside a shark.
Well, you could, but you just chose not
to. Shark hurling through space, by the way.
I got to find time for it.
Although I did
set that aside.
I did see the trailer for Lavalantula.
There you go.
That I'm totally into as well.
Boom. So. Saturday.
Can't wait for that one.
Saturday.
What are you saying?
I'm saying it airs Saturday.
All right.
This is like that time of the year for sports fans where the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals are going on at the same time. Like, it's too much excitement for one week to have Sharknado 3 and Lavalantula on in the same week.
I got to say, though, hearing you guys talk about the movie, how did that happen? It sounds a little like maybe you've missed the Sharknado phenomenon a little bit.
I've seen you're a hair off
on how the whole thing works and where the joke is in that franchise.
I'm unclear on the science. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying you may be two movies a little late for that comedy.
But I had the similar questions the first movie.
That's my point, I think. I think you're supporting my point now.
I keep thinking I'll figure it out, but I'm not smart enough to understand the science of it.
Right.
But it's real, I guess. I mean,
that's
obviously.
Bullshit.
We saw it on the TV. Hey, it's a Thursday morning. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
It is a battle royal for the ladies of pop music. Yeah, it's going on. Katy Perry now has decided to enter the fray between Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj over the MTV Video Music Awards.
I love this so much.
All started, of course, because Nicki claimed she was snubbed from the Video of the Year category because, well, she's black and because the music industry would rather support female artists who, quote, have very slim bodies. Now, Taylor Swift took that personally. Why? Because she takes everything personally. Because it's all about Taylor Swift. And she tweeted out, "I've done nothing but love and support you. It's unlike you to pit women against each other." Now, Katy Perry gets into the mix when she tweets, "Finding it ironic to parade the pit women against other women argument as one unmeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman." Boom! I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
But it is game on.
That was actually impressive because there's no punctuation in that. So you did very well.
Yeah.
It's hard to
understand. You don't have room for punctuation in tweets.
But wow.
You got 140. You got to jam all those words in there.
You read it right through, though. It doesn't make a lot of sense. No.
You don't know.
So, Katie and Taylor are still mortal enemies, right? Is this part of where this is coming from? Is it? They're still on the outs?
Yeah, I mean, Katy Perry's saying, it's funny you talk about pitting women against each other when that's what you do all the time.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I like all the females getting against
Taylor.
Taylor
does seem to have weird sort of one-size-fits-all feminism stuff that she just kind of lets fly and just slaps on a lot of stuff that doesn't seem to apply, seems to me.
Just whatever works for the moment.
That's what I'm feeling.
Right.
She's got it in her quiver. Should she need that particular arrow, she just pulls it out and just fires it in the sky. So Katy Perry now joining the fight.
Love it.
Oh, can't wait for the Battle Royal. I think it's SmackDown 24. I think they all get into the steel cage together or something or whatever.
You know that MTV right now is furiously trying to figure out a way to get them all on stage together.
Yeah.
For the Video Music Awards.
With weapons. With a chainsaw and a baseball bat with a nail in it.
I like it.
Tire chain.
I think people would watch that.
If there's a chance of Taylor getting taken out,
right?
I'm watching that.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
What if Katie gets hurt, though?
She won't. She's blessed by God.
She's an actual angel.
She's a holy warrior. Jurassic World has now pulled in $1.5 billion.
Ralph, you said billion with a B by accident there, I think.
$1.52 billion at the worldwide box office, passing Marvel's The Avengers and making it now the third highest grossing film in history, behind only Titanic and Avatar.
It's been out for like 6 weeks. It's the third highest grossing movie in history.
Still making money. Still won't open in Japan until August 5th, by the way. Hasn't even opened in Japan yet. However, Japan's not a very big market. Movies. Oh, wait a minute. So we'll see what happens. Could be number one ever.
What are you saying?
Could be the biggest. Today's celebrity birthday, Slash is 50 years old today. Woody Harrelson turns 54. Depeche Mode guitarist Martin Gore celebrates his 54th birthday. Charisma Carpenter. How much do we love Charisma Carpenter?
All.
Never has a woman been more aptly named than Charisma Carpenter. You should see her drive a nail. She is incredible.
I thought you were going with Charisma.
What?
Strange. All right.
Marlon Wayans is 43 years old today. Paul Wesley. He plays Stefan on Vampire Diaries. I don't know what any of those words mean. He's 33 years old. And actor Daniel Radcliffe. He's got a lightning bolt on his head. He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Five times a day here on K-Rock, we qualify you for the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 stop number 3, which is Austin City Limits. You know where that is, by the way?
In Austin, Texas?
Actually, they do have it in Austin. Yeah, that's true. We'll give you Foo Fighters tickets, plus qualify you for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to go see the Foos again, along with Florence and the Machine, Alt-J, Modest Mouse, Walk the Moon of Monsters and Men, and so much more. At 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, we will hook you up. You can get all the details at krock.com.
Look, nobody's perfect, but most of us try not to be bad. Mm-hmm. Right?
What is it? Where's this coming from? What's this based on?
I mean, at least if we miss, we miss trying.
Right. Okay. As opposed to actively attempting badness.
Yes, correct.
Which is what most people don't do.
What's the topic here? I don't even. I came in mid-sentence. Where are we? What are we talking about?
Tweet.
Bean!
How dare you?
You, sir.
Your Twitter habits is what we're talking
about. How dare you?
Most of us have come with a pure heart and an attempt to at least do some good. Although, as Kevin mentioned, we may fail. You, sir, are aggressively bad with your tweeting.
Completely unfounded remarks.
Crimes against humanity, some have labeled your tweets.
That's that tweet.
I think as we look back, rightly so.
All right.
Let's kick off with this one, shall we?
These are all real tweets.
You were worried you're the only one listening to the Dan Fogelberg Christmas album tonight. You're not. Hashtag thug life.
Okay, listen. Here's the thing.
No, but
here's the thing.
But give me a second.
Self-explanatory.
It's not so. Look, it is self-explanatory, but I think it's fair.
Then you need to explain it.
It's fair for me to add that listeners who follow me on the Twitter machine
are making a poor choice.
Maybe interested in what's going on in my personal life. Maybe interested in what I'm doing when I'm not on the radio.
Wait, do you think that? Okay, wait a minute.
They might be. Right. Just like when Kevin's tweeting about he's at a soccer game, people are like, "Oh, that's Kevin. That's Kevin's life."
But
people
soccer like is something insight. That people actually do.
It's an event. It's not a song I'm listening to. I don't tweet, hey, the current song that I'm listening to right now so you don't feel alone. I mean, come on. That's BS.
All right, maybe I see that point. All right, maybe
I'll tweet. Do you finally see that point?
When you put it that way, it does make sense.
Kevin, just tweet, I'm wearing a blue shirt. How about you? God damn it.
I don't want you blue shirt wearers to feel alone.
You understand how the world works now?
Okay, all right, so there's just that one tweet then. I mean, you don't make fun of me just for that.
Is that it, Ralph?
Having an amazing Sunday morning, binge listening to the BBC radio interviews with survivors of the Titanic crash.
Okay, now that's super interesting, and there were a lot. Chip never says anything.
Chip's on Bean tweet duty, and I think we're going to have to pay her extra.
I thought other people might be interested
Bean,
in that archive.
Did you think that?
Yes, I did.
No, you did. Not for a minute.
Did you think that for real?
I at 100%.
You're
thought
a liar.
Other people
are lying right now,
guys. Yes. The Titanic is the crash. Of the Titanic is one of the most popular events of the 20th century. People today,
kids love it.
Kids do love it. How about a little movie named Titanic? The kids love it. Okay,
were you watching that movie?
No, I wasn't. Mm. But the point is to hear firsthand accounts of people who were on the ship. Tell me that's not interesting. People who were there that saw the ship sink. Don't you want to hear from those people?
No,
right?
No, because I imagine they would say they would be super old, first of all. And they
these interviews went all the way back to the 30s.
Oh.
They were still young. A lot of these people were still young when the interviews were.
30s.
Having an amazing Sunday morning binge listening, by the way, is the first part of that tweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shebeen, do I have any support even from you on that?
I wouldn't listen to it.
Okay. All right.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
I'm voting for whichever presidential candidate will ban autoplay on internet videos.
Who's with me?
They're annoying, and they gotta be stopped. And if a man can do that or a woman, they got my vote.
Okay, and you think one of the presidents is going to?
I think it's unlikely.
Yeah.
Hashtag Throwback Thursday. Oh, nothing. Just my paternal grandfather in the newspaper proudly displaying a large turnip he had grown.
Okay. Seriously.
F
That's you. What I'm saying. F you.
All the Fs.
You
what,
knew
what part of that? What part of that is an F you? That is my grandfather, my dear grandfather who I love, who was a farmer his whole life.
It's a picture of him holding a turnip.
Yes, a really big turnip.
That's
though.
You saying, I don't give a rat's ass about anybody who reads any of my tweets. That,
not
that's
at all.
The only thing that announces to the world is your total disdain for anybody who might stupidly follow you on Twitter.
If I am guilty of anything, it's being a little too proud of my family's accomplishments.
That's for sure. That's what we know about you.
It's a big turnip.
As a lifelong fan of Archie Comics, Archie's new look really threw me with his Nerdist haircut and whatnot.
You guys have seen the redesign of the Archie comics.
I haven't, A.
They've totally turned everyone in Riverdale into like a CW actor now.
Okay, all right.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
Oh, great. Now I have to endure a leap second tonight, too? Thanks, Obama.
That was like, what, 2-3 weeks ago? When
They changed the clock. Just another hassle that you got to live through.
Not a hassle. Bean, it doesn't affect you at all.
Bean, do you try to tweet things that people might find funny but no one can relate to? Like no one else is tweeting about that subject?
Like, oh, let me celebrate how quirky and weird
right.
I am. Ha ha ha. Aren't I a character? Aren't I a cut-up?
The leap second was a trending topic that day. A lot of people were writing about the leap second, talking about how they were going to spend it, what they were going to do with it, whether they liked it and stuff. It wasn't just me.
I just want to put out there for everybody that I love the leap second. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm not crazy about them monkeying with the clock. You guys know that. But
that tweet.
We're out of time.
No, we're not.
We'll go as long as Ralph has.
Another really good reason not to leave your dog in a hot car is he might screw around with your radio presets. Ha!
Wait, what was the ha? You added that, right?
Yeah, I added that.
Okay.
Because that's you thinking, oh, yes, nailed it.
Nailed
you're
it.
Pumping your arm skating backwards after you just... Put it in the upper right corner.
He's skating backwards?
Yes.
That's weird.
I hope that I would get people to think twice about leaving a dog in a hot car.
You were not trying to perform a public service with that. You were trying to make people laugh.
Dun, 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 dun.
The more you know.
That's exactly what I was
doing. Oh, stop it.
All right, we're out of time.
One more.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
Ain't no party like a chocolate milk party. Hashtag living it up. Hashtag living it up. Hashtag oh yeah. Hashtag Friday night.
Yeah!
Listen to him laugh at himself.
Somebody's got to.
Living it up. Living it up. Living it up. Oh yeah. Friday night. Ralph, you like that. Come on. That's funny. That's funny.
Ralph, do you find that funny?
Not at all.
A little bit. A wee bit, a tiny bit.
Are you not familiar with the definition of not at all?
I stand by that tweet.
Here's what we're saying.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program this morning. He actually in the news this week. Something actually happened on his show that ended up being part of a police investigation.
Yeah, he got another girl pregnant.
No, he's doing bum fights.
Oh,
yeah.
So we'll talk to him about that. Also, Jim Rome talks sports on the program today. And more importantly, the director of Sharknado 3, Anthony C. Ferrante, will be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Can I play you a quick news report?
Sure.
And then ask you a few questions?
Most people have fiddled with a Rubik's Cube.
few have probably even managed to complete it without removing the stickers.
All right, now the Rubik's Cube.
My question is, what accent is that? Where's that lady from?
I don't know.
Wasn't it weird?
Sort of British?
Yeah, but sort of not.
Maybe Scottish? I don't know.
All right, Rubik's Cube.
All right.
But it took Felix Zemdegs less than 6 seconds to win his second world title in Sao Paulo.
Okay, so he has won the world championship twice in the Rubik's Cube solving.
Now, I think it's worth mentioning, Kevin, what a Rubik's Cube is.
Yes.
Because I have to guess there are a lot of people who have never even heard of it or seen one.
Because it was 1981 to 1982 only. Right? I mean, that's pretty much it.
The Rubik's Cube is a cube, and it breaks apart in, I guess it has 9 different squares on each side of the cube, and they're all different colors, and you mix it up, and then the goal is you try to put them back together so that each face of the cube is its own color.
Right.
And it sounds a lot easier than it is. It's the type of thing, and it was very popular, as Kevin mentioned back in the 80s, it's the type of thing that people would work on every day for a year and not figure out how to put it back together. This kid did it in under 6 seconds.
For his second world title.
Yeah. Right. Why do you think in 2015 there is such thing as the Rubik's Cube World Championship? Like, can there be enough people who are interested in that game from the 80s that it's worth having this competition?
I mean, they had it. I don't know if it's worth it or not, but they did. I mean, this is a thing that happened this year.
I mean, no matter how
you look at it.
Hey, what's happening? But no matter how you look at it, it's super impressive. If you ever attempted to solve a Rubik's Cube, solving it in under a minute is crazy.
Solving it,
period.
To me, is
period.
Crazy.
Because yeah. Yeah.
I tried it once, and I was like, this is stupid, and threw it away like anything else I can't do. 6 seconds.
Kevin, did you really only ever try a Rubik's Cube one time?
That's the kind of thing that I hate just because
really?
It's like, really, I have enough annoyances in my life. I don't need to bring something else that's annoying
I try to solve mine about once a week.
Still?
About once a week, yeah.
Wait, first of all, you still have one?
Yeah, I still have one, yeah.
Wait.
Have
you been working on it since the 80s? And every week you get to it, you go, all right, I'm finally going to nail it.
Have you not moved houses since 1981?
When I had my daughter, when I was a kid, I didn't have a Rubik's Cube. So when I had my daughter, I bought her a bunch of like retro toys, like Mr. Potato Head, Etch-A-Sketch, all the stuff that I wanted. I told my wife, I'm going to get this for my daughter, but it was really for me.
All right.
So one of these things was the Rubik's Cube. My daughter has nothing to do with the Rubik's Cube.
Oh,
portion.
She's smart.
I got it about 2 years ago. So, yeah, about once a week or so, I try to solve it. I have looked on YouTube on videos.
Did not look up cheats for solving. Oh, my.
Absolutely. They give you little tips, and, still can't do it.
Really?
It's really, really hard. Yeah. I just can't do it. But, yeah, but it's something I just don't let go.
How long do you have patience for that? Like, when you sit down to try it?
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Oh, yeah, about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes, and then I was like, Either it gets worse or I get one side done. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good for this week.
That's it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many Rubik's Cubes they still sell. I mean, it must be a thing they still make, right? It's still available in the stores.
For sure, yeah. And they have different ones. They have ones that are,
you don't have to tell us.
I think the standard one is what? 3x3 or 4x4 or whatever.
But I think it's 3x3x3. Yeah.
Yeah, they go all the way to like, 12x12. And they get bigger and bigger and more complex.
Oh, why? That's
bad. Yeah. Oh, in other words, more
squares.
Slots.
Oh, more squares,
I see.
Yeah.
So if the 3x3x3 is too easy for you, you can get a bigger cube.
Right.
So more news about the world champion?
Sure.
2-time world champion?
Zemdegs completed the traditional 3x3x3 Rubik's Cube in 5.695 seconds.
That's crazy.
Omar.
Not less than 6 seconds.
As a guy who is currently playing a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
How do you even explain that? Like, how can you even see the colors that fast to move them in the right order?
I know I don't know if it's called an algorithm or whatever. There's some sort of formula for it. So what they do is they hand you the Rubik's Cube. You're allowed to look at it and
study it.
Yes, you study it for I don't know how long, and then when the timer goes,
because they can randomly mess it up, so it's always different.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they study it, and then they somehow in their head know how, what, you know, formula to use or how to move it to solve it. It's insane.
That's
crazy.
Interesting. In under 6 seconds.
Under 6 seconds. Yeah. And so
you try it for 10 minutes and give up.
Give up. Yeah. And I just get like one side or make it worse. Yeah. And there's this one guy on YouTube, search like Metallica Rubik's Cube. It's this guy who gets a Rubik's
Why
Cube.
Why would I do that?
Just to impress the video.
It's a terrible search.
This guy, he gets a Rubik's Cube, he looks at it, and he studies it for maybe 10 seconds. Actually, I think he does three in a row. And so he studies it for, you know, 3 to 5 seconds, and he puts it over his head, and he solves it over his head. He's not even looking at it.
All right, that's impressive.
What does Metallica have to do with that?
It's like he's a huge Metallica fan. It's like set to Metallica music.
Okay, excuse me, guys, if you don't mind. I'm gonna interrupt with a phone call from our old producer, Lightning. Hello, Lightning.
Oh, really?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Light, what's up? You heard us talking about the Rubik's Cube?
Well, yeah, you know what? My son, who you guys saw yesterday, came by the studio, can solve it in 35 seconds.
What? Wow. How old is your kid?
He just turned 13.
And what's his secret?
He just studied it, worked with friends at school, and figured out the algorithms. And he can do it now almost with his eyes closed. He's trying to get down to sub 15 seconds.
Well, if he's any kind of winner, he will.
What a loser.
Lightning, we were surprised.
So the Rubik's Cube made kind of a comeback here with kids in the last couple of years. Justin Bieber was on TV with James Corden a couple weeks back solving the Rubik's Cube as he was driving around. Yeah. L.A. singing. It's come back around, I think, quietly. If you weren't paying attention or you maybe didn't have kids, you wouldn't have seen it. But, like, it's one of the top-selling toys, like Target.
Are you going to force your son to try and beat 6 seconds? Because this guy, under 6 seconds.
He's on a mission. I don't think that he believes he can do it that fast because it's... by the way, guys, there also when you're really fast, you don't buy the Rubik's Cube brand. There's one from, I think it's China, that has rounded corners that allows you to spin two directions at once without it binding up.
Lightning. That's cheating.
No, it's not cheating. It's just makes so you can spin it faster.
Dude, this is America. What's wrong with you?
Good point, Elvis. Good point. Who knew this much was going on about Rubik's Cubes? This is insane.
There was a competition, guys, just the other day.
Hey, Lightning, I got to be honest. I've reached my limit. I've reached my Rubik's Cube limit. I feel like we've talked about it too much today.
It is funny, though, Kevin, that this is the first time either you or I have seen, read, or heard the words in 30 years, yet we're already about out.
What is happening? Who's got that kind of time in their lives? All right, people that are calling, stop calling about the Rubik's Cube. We're going to do something else.
Yes, here's what we have for you. We've been looking forward to this. It is finally almost here. Vacation, the movie starring the great Ed Helms, Christina Applegate, Chris Hemsworth, and so much more. It looks so, so funny. It's in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, July 29th, but you get to see it a couple of nights before at the Village Theater if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn your way, and we got a game you can play, but if you want to see the premiere of Vacation, call K-Rock now. We'll talk to you next. The film is called Vacation. It is in theaters on Wednesday, July the 29th, and it's going to be at the Village Theater a couple of nights before that on the Monday night. Ed Helms, Christina Applegate, Chris Hemsworth. This movie looks funny, right, Ralph?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Funny funny heritage, too, this franchise of vacation movies. If you'd like to go to the red carpet premiere, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's play the vacation game.
Vacation, all I ever wanted. Vacation tickets to give away. Vacation time to play the game. Let's go.
Yay.
All right.
Yay, indeed.
Yeah, from the 80s. Rodney's very happy.
What are we looking for this time around, Ralph?
Well, since the movie Vacation, both the original and the new one with Ed Helms, is about a family taking a road trip to go to a vacation destination, Wally World, in the case of the films, I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at the top 10 U.S. vacation destinations.
Oh.
As ranked by TripAdvisor.com, which is one of those websites that helps you put the whole thing together. So I will give you three tourist attractions in a given United States city.
Okay.
And these are all the top 10 vacation destination cities in the U.S. Now, I've taken out Los Angeles. We're not going to use that one.
Okay.
Because that would just be too obvious and too easy. But all these other cities, I will give you three major tourist attractions in those cities, and you need to identify the city that is the vacation destination.
All right. That sounds sort of easy. I guess we'll find out.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
It wouldn't be for Bean because he sees the nonsense stuff. But this is the biggest stuff, right?
Yeah.
That they're known for.
These are actual tourists. This is not the world's biggest pecan or anything.
Good.
This is an
Seguin, Texas.
It's an actual tourist attraction.
Tony in Paramount. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, Tony. Here are your tourist attractions. Name this top 10 U.S. vacation destination. It's number 10, actually, on the list. Lake Buena Vista, Gatorland, and Wet n Wild.
Florida?
That's the state. I need the city.
Miami?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Orlando.
Oh, no.
Orlando is what we're looking for.
He's upset.
Yeah,
hate it when that happens.
By the way, we have five pairs of tickets, so get it right, get tickets, right? No
yep,
drawing.
Right.
Okay.
Let's go to Chris in Pasadena. Hi, Chris.
What's up?
Chris, here is your list of tourist attractions. Give me the vacation destination city. The Smithsonian Institution. The John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, the National Mall.
Washington, D.C.
Boom!
Hey.
Boom.
You're going.
Just
you're
like that.
You're going to go see vacation.
All right. Let's go to Jeff in Lakewood. Hi, Jeff.
Washington, the ninth most highly rated vacation city. Interesting, that.
Yeah.
I can see that, though, because, you know, there's also the White House, Lincoln Memorial, a lot of cool stuff to see.
Well, I'm not trying to give the obvious, the big ones.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to work a little deeper.
Hey, Jeff.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Here are your tourist attractions. Name me the city. Puget Sound, the Great Wheel, and the Pike Place Fish Market.
Washington.
Yeah, I need a city.
Oh, Seattle.
There you go.
Yay.
Who would go there?
In Bean's
go
house.
That ass of a city.
Yeah, that's terrible, right?
City of Ass.
Ruben.
That's his nickname. Ass City.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they call it
ass City. Ruben in La Puente. Hi. Hello, Ruben.
Ruben?
Nope.
Kevin hung up on Ruben. Kevin
did not,
hates Ruben.
Did not at all. Will in Huntington Beach. Hi.
You guys, I've got them all right so far. Ralph, give me an easy one. Please.
Well, I'm going in order. This is number 7 on the list of vacation destination cities. I'll give you the tourist attractions. Give me the city. Mission Bay, the Gaslamp Quarter, and the La Jolla Playhouse.
An easy one. Thanks, buddy. San Diego.
There you
You're
go.
Going to vacation. Congratulations. That was 7th on the list.
I think that's 3,
three
right?
Yes.
Are we okay?
Yeah. All right, let's go to Johnny in Long Beach. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Johnny, this city is 5th on the list of top 10 U.S. vacation destinations. Here are your tourist attractions. The French Quarter, the Pontchartrain Hotel, Bourbon Street.
Hometown, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yay.
It's your hometown?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
You got the state wrong.
Lucky.
Yeah. All right, we got one more pair of tickets for vacation.
This is Melissa in Corona. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. Here's number 4 on the list. They give me the city. Here are your tourist attractions. Hoover Dam, Fremont Street, the National Atomic Testing Museum.
Las Vegas.
There you go.
You're going to see vacation. The other 3 cities, number 3 was San Francisco, number 2 was Chicago, number 1.
Hold, please.
Okay, go ahead.
How you doing with the phones over there, Kev?
I'm fine.
You know, she's on hold.
When you hear the dial tone saying, hold, please, Kev, isn't going to help anyone. That means you've already hung up on them.
Okay. I didn't hang up on anyone. I just hit another line so that you could hear the dial tone.
The number 1 vacation city in the U.S., New York City, as you can imagine.
Yay.
Hey, thanks for playing the game.
Vacation, all I ever wanted.
Yay.
When Hozier played the Red Bull Sound Space, that was great.
Hozier, I hardly even know her. Azing!
Hey, baby.
Hey, we're about 20 minutes away from the director of Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, airing last night on the Sci-Fi Channel. Anthony C. Ferrante will be here. Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today. We'll talk sports with Jim Rome. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
It is on like Donkey Kong.
What is it?
Katy Perry wading into the feud between Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj. It's magical.
Now, we're required to take sides? Is that how this works now?
No, but if you're a right-thinking American, it's pretty obvious whose side you take.
Correct.
Nicki Minaj came forward and said she was snubbed from the Video of the Year category in the MTV Video Music Awards because she's black and because the music industry would rather support female artists who feature videos with women who have very slim bodies, in her words. Well, Taylor Swift took that personally. Oh, yeah. And then she came back and said, I've done nothing but love and support you. It's unlike you to pit women against each other. Oh, no, she didn't. And then Nicki Minaj said, I won't even talk about you, bitch. In the words to that effect.
Right.
Now Katy Perry has come forward and said, finding it ironic to parade the pit woman against other women argument about as one unmeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman. All right, no one knew what that meant. But
she's the me of tweeting.
But BuzzFeed has gone through many steps to break it down and to make us understand what she was actually talking about. They rewrote a little bit. Here's what she's actually trying to say.
Okay.
I find it ironic to parade about the pit women against each other argument as one immeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman. Because of Bad Blood, that song of hers is all about a woman against another woman, that woman being Katy Perry.
Oh, it all comes clear.
And Bad Blood, that song is written about woman-on-woman hatred, about taking down another woman, about her feud with Katy Perry. Here she goes, oh, don't pit another woman against women. That's all you do! Let's get her! Come on, who's with me?
Hey, Ralph!
Hey, Ralph!
We're not done!
Come on!
We can't go get her now!
Let's do it!
We have to wait till the show's over.
Where did you get a pitchfork and a torch so fast?
I had it ordered online. Amazon Prime. It's two-day delivery. Free.
I don't need to know any of the details. I just need to know who's against Taylor Swift, and then that's my side.
Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj.
Okay, apparently. Yeah, that's my side.
That's a good way to decide, though,
yep.
Kevin.
I'm team Parage. No, Minery. I'm trying to combine Katy Perry and Nicki Minaj.
Oh, I see. Okay. Up with it.
Katy. Nickity.
Nickity. Team Nickity.
Team Nickity. Anyway, death to Taylor. We can all agree on
correct.
That, though, right?
Okay.
Just for alternate opinion, no, I'm not down with
there's that. A musical in the works based on a popular film. I know, you might find that shocking.
What?
But someone's going to take a chance and make a musical based on a movie. Odd choice, in my opinion. It is a musical based on Martin Scorsese's 1982 film, The King of Comedy.
What?
It was unmeasurably loud, Dean.
Really?
Yeah, I don't my know why, ears are bleeding.
I don't know what happened, but...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not weird. It's ow!
No way to measure that loudness right there.
You may remember that film. Robert De Niro plays a loser comedian who is obsessed with talk show host played by Jerry Lewis and kidnaps him. Do you remember
I love that movie.
It's a great film. And they're going to make a musical about it. Interesting that.
Good idea to you, Ralph.
Best of luck. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a challenge.
Bean, you love that movie. How about you? You scared of it?
You know, it 100% depends on who writes it and how good the songs are. You know, I mean, a lot of things have been turned into musicals that I wouldn't have expected, and a lot of them have been bad too. There's no way to tell.
Yeah.
But man, for people who think they know what Jerry Lewis is all about. Watch that movie, and it's a completely different experience than anything else you've ever seen.
He's
him
brilliant
do.
In it.
He's brilliant.
Really, great performance.
I don't know anyone who thinks they know what Jerry Lewis is all about.
I know what Jerry Lewis is all about.
It's a strange category of person.
I just mean he's widely known for comedies.
You know what I think he's also widely known for?
Yes, Mr. Lewis.
His work in the international community.
Right.
I know he can pick up a phone.
We can't.
You know what? Nope. We don't really. We can't
call
really get
a world nope, leader.
Nope. We can't get into that.
And have
nope.
a conversation.
Nope.
About
I don't believe that has ever happened. Mr.
And
Lewis.
That world leader would answer the phone.
It's never
say,
happened.
Hello, that's, Jerry.
It's never happened.
I don't know if it's you. And then he'd be convinced it was me, and then they'd be talking and hiding and hiding.
All right. I think you need to lay down. It sounds like you're having a spell. None of that ever happened. Certainly not on this show.
Well, I hope not, too. I think that's what we all hope for. Miley Cyrus is magical. She has been showing off an enormous amount of armpit hair lately.
Good.
So what she did was, yesterday, she waxed it off and documented the process on Instagram.
Okay.
And then when it was all said and done, she dumped the clump of armpit hair on top of Wayne Coyle's head. Wayne Coyle, of course, from the Flaming
Lips. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
So that was all on Instagram. That was all documented.
Why?
We live in a golden age of pop stars where they're throwing eggs and peeing in buckets and licking donuts and dumping armpit hair on people's heads. It's just it's a world populated strictly by assholes. Really. They're just a bunch of douchebags, the entire pop music community.
Oh.
Look, well, the music we play here in K-Rock may not be the most popular music in the world right now.
It's not.
Everything goes in cycles, I believe. And right now, perhaps, rock is not exactly king. But we have better people. I'll tell you that much. I like our people.
Yeah.
Nobody's shooting each other. Nobody's dumping armpit hair on each other. Nobody's licking any donuts. It just seems like we have a good batch.
Have we checked with all of our people to make sure there's no donut licking?
I don't believe Grohl has licked any donuts lately. I don't think the Imagine Dragons kids have peed in anybody's buckets. I think they're just being good people. That's all.
What do you think that's about? That's an interesting observation that you've made. Why is it that we see so few people who make rock music get involved in things like this?
I think maybe they're a little bit more
mature,
grounded, mature.
Classy.
They have to work a little harder for the success that they get. A little more dedicated, perhaps. A little more based on the art itself. A little less flash over substance.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. A lot of these people come out of Disney shows and YouTube in pop music. That's where they find them now.
There's a lot more emphasis you're suggesting on their celebrity and their huge personalities rather than
good
abilities.
Hair. She's got cat ears. Oh, let's put them on stage. Let's have Ryan Seacrest bow down.
Explain Wayne from the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
He's a weirdo.
I know he's a weirdo. He's got
issues. Unnaturally obsessed with Miley Cyrus.
Yes,
I don't know
is.
What that's about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like derailed the Flaming Lips' whole career has been about Miley Cyrus for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Don't you hate people who are unnaturally obsessed with female pop stars who really should know better? Who
build their life around
who
that
should
person.
Be like
grown
older
men.
Grown men, mature men who are like obsessed with teeny female pop stars. Isn't that weird?
I feel like we're getting off topic a little bit.
I think we're right on topic.
I think, hey, Kettle, let me introduce you to Pot.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Party pooper, buzzkill, boo.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Slash is 50. Woody Harrelson's 54. Martin Gore, Depeche Mode guitarist, is 54 as well. Charisma Carpenter, she's 45 years old today. I love Charisma. Marlon Wayans is 43. Paul Wesley, who plays Stefan on Vampire Diaries, is 33 years old today. And Daniel Radcliffe celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I didn't know until yesterday that there was a channel called the FYI Network, but apparently Ally McKay watches it all the time.
Yeah, that was weird.
Not all the time, but I do when Tiny House Nation is on.
Tiny House Nation, that's apparently your show.
People
who are living in trailers, and that's a TV show somehow?
Not trailers.
Anyway, there's a new show that is making some noise. It's going to be hosted by Khloe Kardashian, because there aren't enough Kardashians on TV, I think is what has been decided.
Yeah.
Khloe Kardashian, the program is called Cocktails with Khloe, and the senior vice president of programming for the network says, Khloe Kardashian is an iconic millennial voice. We look forward to sharing her unique personality, wit, and insight with the FYI audience. Have you ever considered her to be witty, to have insights, to have a unique personality, any of those things?
No, but we could be wrong, Bean.
We could be wrong. Maybe we just don't know Khloe.
Right.
Maybe she's just been lumped in with the rest of her family. We haven't gotten to experience her as an individual. Maybe that's the problem. So let's find out more about this new Cocktails with Khloe show with our friend Khloe Kardashian, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Khloe.
Hello.
How are you, my dear?
I'm good, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are
you? Actually, it's still Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Carson.
Nope, just Kevin and Bean. So, Cocktails with Khloe. What's this about?
I'm so excited to have my own talk show. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping to follow in the footsteps of my mom, Chris, who had her own amazing talk show, which ran for approximately 6 weeks.
Yeah, that got canceled after 6 weeks.
America loves the Kardashians.
Some of the Kardashians.
They can't get enough of us. Here's the thing, we all know, America's demanding more Kardashians, and now they'll have it with Cocktails with Khloe. Cocktails with a K.
Yeah.
You do spell it with a K.
Oh, that's funny, because my name has K in it.
Right, so tell us about this show. What will we see?
I'm going to be making cocktails.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the kitchen now and make a cocktail. Come with me, won't you?
Oh, wow.
I'm in the kitchen now.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Make a little cocktail.
All right. Well, listen, can we still talk to you while you do that? Or
sure, go ahead.
Okay. So it's not a traditional talk show where people sit around.
Right, okay.
Oh, that's good.
Is it
just pancake batter on the rock.
I guess my question is, it's not a show like your mom's was.
No, this isn't your mom's talk show. This is a new talk show for an iconic millennial voice.
Right. Is this a talk show?
It is a talk show.
Okay. But it's a bunch of people sitting around in your apartment or on a set that looks like your apartment and pretending
first
they're having
all,
a cocktail party?
First of all, apartment. You're adorable. It'll be at my mansion.
Okay. Mansion. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. And it'll be an intimate dinner party filled with cooking, pop culture, conversation, and outrageously fun party games, the press release reads.
All right, is that accurate? Is that what you hope to do, Chloe?
Yeah, absolutely, because nothing I like better than to cook. I'm cooking something right now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just a little snack. It's a suckling pig.
Oh, wow.
It's delicious.
A whole pig?
Yeah, well, just a suckling one.
I thought it was a snack.
Oh. Yes, exactly.
All right.
Baby pig.
Oh, crap.
What's
that? Smoke alarm?
Oh, the suckling pig's on fire.
Okay, well, go handle that.
That's what Lamar used to say about me when I wanted to have sex.
Do you have a staff to come put that kitchen fire out, or are you handling
come on,
that?
Come on, you're not going to get a better out than the suckling pig's on fire.
As far as I'm concerned, the gentleman who just sat down in the studios here is the king of Hollywood, the director of last night's Sci-Fi Channel movie Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, Anthony C. Ferrante, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey,
how
guys.
Are you, Anthony?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
All right, Kevin, that's fine. You wildly exceeded our expectations of what a Sharknado movie could be. Congratulations. How are you feeling about it? I'm sure you sat down and watched it last night with family and friends. How are you feeling about it now that it is aired?
I'm so relieved. This thing was really hard to do. We shot this thing in February. We delivered it 2 weeks ago. Studios take 2.5 years to make a big blockbuster movie, and we do it in the time it takes to probably figure out what they want for their craft service that day.
And you directed all three movies in the franchise, right?
Yeah, all three. I've been here from the beginning.
Is it when they come to you, every time they come to you and say, "All right, Anthony, great job again. We want to sign you up for another one." Is there a moment where you go, "How do we top the last one?"
I think there are moments, but it's weird because a little bit right before we have to think about the next one, there's ideas. Like for this one, when we were doing the visual effects for number two, I was joking with someone, hey, the next one should be DC, and it's White House down with sharks. So instead of terrorists, you have sharks with teeth tearing through the White House and, Finn with machine guns.
The fact that somebody didn't fire you right then is an amazing thing, and I love it.
Well, the fact that we use a shark as sort of a protective shield for Finn re-entering Earth's atmosphere, I think that's the one where I kept saying, "What if he just punches through the top and then the parachute comes out?" And it's like, "Okay, go back."
You made
to the
a
home.
Lot of decisions, and we need to ask about some of them.
All right, spoiler alert: we should say if you haven't seen Sharknado 3 and you care about the spoilers, then please don't listen to this or save this to watch to listen to it after. You've seen it. But there are no rules in Sharknado, right? You can pretty much do whatever you want with the sharks.
Yeah, I mean, basically, originally people were saying, well, sharks can't live in a tornado. And no, it's a Sharknado. That is our villain. It's like Freddy Krueger or Frankenstein's monster. You don't know how Freddy gets into dreams. And one of the rules I had from the beginning is maybe people have theories as to, it's, global warming or whatever, but we're never going to, as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm involved, we're never going to explain what a Sharknado is, which means the rules are whatever we want them
okay,
to be.
Okay, which brings up the next point, because most of that movie, those sharks were not in a tornado. They were just flying
through
buildings
the air
and going up and staying on the railing at one of the rides at the amusement park. I was like, what's happening? The rules have changed.
Well, the rules are there's a storm going on, and the storm is a Sharknado storm, so...
So whatever happens, happens.
And whatever happens, happens. I mean, look, the laws of physics with the roller coaster thing, clearly, none of that can happen. But
what?
When you're going to Universal Orlando and they're saying, hey, you could shoot on the roller coaster as long as, the sharks are destroying it, you could do whatever you want. You're going to go, okay, we're going to do a loop-de-loop with a shark.
That's a pretty cool effect.
How long can your sharks breathe out of water? Because it seemed like they went several minutes at a time.
They can go into space.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
So they could do whatever they want to do.
Whatever they want. All right. Why, and again, I know there doesn't have to be internal logic on this, but why does the tornado only pick up sharks? Like, why are there not other fish and debris?
It's not called fishnado. It's sharknado.
Well, wasn't there a fognado and wasn't there a sharkicane? Weren't both of those things in the movie last night?
Yeah, but the sharks are the main thing. We did concede to an octopus in number two. So there was an octopus, and there's some kind of debris and some bark that floats around in the tornado. But you know, it's symbiotic. Sharks and a tornado, they're together, and
sure,
you know, they eliminate anything else that's in there. So there's fish or whatever, they're gone.
When you when you're shooting this, are there any prop sharks, or is everything CGI'd after the shooting is done?
We do occasionally have some prop sharks. It's easier when you're actually shooting in water, because then you can actually have the thing there. But there's a couple insert shots where you'll see like over the shoulder of a practical shark. The one thing that we did, and this was like a thing that I was obsessed with, was George Washington shark face. I wanted
pretty good.
That was like what Thunder, our writer, he said, I want to do something with Washington's bust in the White House. I'm going, what if Finn takes the bust and shoves it into a shark's face, and now he has George Washington shark face? And because you're on low budget and these things fall apart at the last minute, we storyboarded
it. This is your job as an adult, Anthony.
We storyboarded that.
You did.
And we did conceptual art for George Washington shark face because, damn it, it was going to be exactly the way it was in my head.
You've got to put that up on eBay.
I'm gonna put it up online today. On my Twitter.
Were you in the writer's room at all for this?
Oh yeah, no, we're talking about it from the beginning. I mean, we were talking about it prior to it.
Okay, because like Allie brought up one of her favorite scenes earlier this morning was when Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray and radio talk show host Ann Coulter, when they surf down a flight of steps to get around some sharks in the White House on portraits of presidents.
And the fact that Ann Coulter was like, "You can't do that. We have to do that." It's so brilliantly horrible.
I love it so much. I just want. I wonder if somebody has that idea or gets fleshed out somehow in the meeting. There must be so much high-fiving going on in the writer's room when that idea is hatched.
Well, you know, the thing is, some of the stuff is very organic. Again, we shoot these things in 18 days, and, you know, a lot of times you're dealing with things while you're there on set. This idea, we didn't know how they were going to deal with what they were dealing with. There was an idea in number two of people kind of surfing downstairs, and so we ported that over into this because our stunt guy goes, well, we can create this rig and we can do that, and it's like sold because we need to figure out a way to get them out of the White House. And so that was kind of the solution. Originally, it was just going to be this flooded flooring, you know, and then they had to kind of jump around and stuff. But this was much better.
Amateurs.
Are you sad, though, from a timing perspective, and there's no way you could have known this, that Donald Trump wasn't your president instead of Mark Cuban?
We reached out to him originally because Ian was on Celebrity Apprentice. And so
That's
now we know
right.
why he didn't want to be in the movie as our president. But wouldn't it have been cool if he was the president in the movie? I think Mark Cuban now has a better chance at being president because he was a president in our film.
Well,
he put on that tux and he looks so presidential.
He did.
Sharknado is the launching point for most presidential candidates.
I know forget late night talk show.
I know that for a
it's
fact.
Now Sharknado.
This is the voice of Anthony Ferrante here at the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his movie, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, which aired last night and airs again when? When are the repeats on Sci-Fi?
The repeat, I believe, is Saturday night on Sci-Fi, and I think then it's going to stream right after that.
It was a pretty strong day yesterday watching Sharknado and then Sharknado 2 and then 3, one right after the other. I mean, that was a good day.
The thing about this, by the time Batman versus Superman comes out next year, it'll be about a little less than 3 years from start to finish. We've made a trilogy of Sharknado movies in 2.5 years. Hollywood, come talk to me.
All right, let me ask you this, because my initial thought, we're all over the place. I'm sorry about that. My initial thought when the sharks went into space.
Sharks in space.
Was, hey, Anthony must be out of the whole movie making process because he's ruining 4.
No,
that's got to be 4.
Well, no, we've ruined 4, 5, and 6 because basically we crammed 4 Sharknado movies into one. There's DC, there's The Road Trip.
DC, for those of you that didn't see it, is 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
It's a teaser.
It's over.
We basically, everybody thinks it's going to be the whole movie, and we just blow our wad in the first 12 minutes. Then there's Universal Orlando.
I've done that.
And then we go into space.
It's a lot of movie.
It's a lot of movie. But we commit to it. That's the cool.
You do commit to it. That's true.
Well, that's the cool thing about the Sharknado movies is that what we do is we're not really parody per se. It's like, what kind of genre do we want to play with and add the shark? So it's like, we did Die Hard with the White House Down thing. We do this disaster to theme park, and then we just go into space. When they wanted to do the space thing originally, they go, let's just have it be this little thing at the end. I'm going, no, if we're going to do it, we're going to commit to it. It's going to be the last 30 minutes of the film. I'm not going to just have something on a poster and like Jason Takes Manhattan, the Friday the 13th movie, where, oh, he's going to Manhattan. No, he's on a boat. Oh, he's still on a boat. Oh, he's killing people on a boat. And then the last 2 minutes, they're in Manhattan, and he kills a couple people. And it's like, no, we weren't going to cop out like that. And we kept it quiet, which I couldn't believe we kept it quiet.
And you kept it pure, man. And that's what it matters when it comes to Sharknado movies.
Lightsaber chainsaw. Come on.
A lightsaber chainsaw. That happened.
And a lot of people were asking, even online, I'm sure you were following the social media, is that something that you had to go through Lucasfilm to get approval of? Or can anyone make a lightsaber and put it in a movie?
Well, it's a lightsaber chainsaw. I think it also falls into that sort of parody law. Though we did actually have to get permission, and this was actually a proud accomplishment. There's two proud accomplishments in this movie. One was when we were at Universal Orlando, we wanted to do something with the Jaws shark, but we had to get approval from Amblin and Steven Spielberg. Now, I'm assuming it's someone at Amblin that said okay, but deep down, because we're big Jaws geeks, you know, we still want to feel that Steven Spielberg knows we exist. So, Steve, thank you for letting us do the Jaws thing. The other one was actually getting to shoot at NASA at Kennedy Space Center. We were finished with the movie, and we wanted to go there, but it was going to take 2 months to get approval. And I was depressed because the movie didn't look big enough at the end. And so I reached out to our NASA contact and I said, is there any way that we could do this? And they said, look, if you can come here with a crew of seven, you can shoot. And I'm like, really? And so a week later...
They didn't know who they were talking to, did they?
No, they didn't. And so we're there, and they're going, here's Mission Control, and here's George, who does all the countdowns. And suddenly I needed an actor, so I ended up having to be in the movie because we didn't have any additional actors. We had Ian there in a spacesuit walking through the vehicle assembly building, going to the top of the roof. We got all this B-roll, and they actually let us shoot in the room where the Apollo astronauts suited up, where only, I believe, 10% of people that work at NASA have ever been into.
Wow,
so we got access to all that stuff. And it was because I was persistent and I wanted to make the movie bigger. So people look at it going, oh, that must be, B-roll or something. Or that was stock shots. No, we actually got to shoot there. To be there and be part of that history was just, I mean, thank you, everybody in NASA, for letting us do that. And yes, it was a Sharknado movie. It wasn't Transformers. So maybe someone got confused along the way.
Now, that is amazing to me that NASA would have signed off on it just based on, I thought they were pretty much sticklers for science. And you've got, Ian Ziering getting onto the spaceship during the countdown. I mean,
well,
for instance.
Well, you know, they have a good they have a great sense of humor, and there are people that really
they
love
don't
Sharknado.
Strike us as a group with a great sense of humor.
They do.
But they won't launch a real rocket into space if the wind is going 15 miles an hour. You launched a rocket during a Sharknado.
It's an unauthorized launch. If you look at it, all put together with gum and tape. It's like making a Sharknado movie.
We have many more questions with our friend Anthony Ferrante, who is back for Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. It aired last night on Sci-Fi. It'll air again this Saturday night. And we'll continue this conversation right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, we have so many questions. I don't even know where to go from here.
Anthony C. Ferrante in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is the director of the greatest motion picture ever made. And I'll fight to the death anyone who disagrees with that statement. Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, which airs again this Saturday night on the Sci-Fi Channel. Where do we begin, Kevin? I know you actually have some tape of some things you wanted to ask Anthony about.
Well, my first and only question really is, in what world does Finn not dump April for Nova? In what world does that happen?
No kidding.
I
don't care. Okay.
Finn is a gentleman.
In what world, sir?
You know, here's the thing. From the beginning of the franchise, the whole first movie, there was that tension between Nova and Finn, except that Finn is all obsessed about his family.
Right.
So
to change that.
Well... You know,
I was angry last night because he wasn't picking Nova. How stupid am I?
It's family entertainment with how many people killed in the movie last night, I think. All right, explain the science behind the plane crashes with Finn and Nova on it and they lose all of their clothes except their underwear and lingerie. How does that work?
That was maybe my favorite, other than the ending, that was my favorite scene where they come up out of the water. 10 seconds after wrecking the plane in their in lingerie and like a slow-mo porn shot. That was so
again,
awesome.
Family.
Well, I mean, they had to pull off their jumpsuits to get out of the ship that crashed into the Universal Orlando Lake.
8 seconds earlier?
8 seconds. Yeah. Well, in the DVD version, there's an additional visual effect of the plane sinking down. So.
Oh, okay.
So right. They got an extra, like, 4 seconds to be able to do that.
I didn't need that. I needed more slow-mo of her coming up.
There's actually, if you watch it closely, there is a tree in front of Ian. And you can kind of guess why there was a tree that was put there in post-production.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a myth. It's going to be one of those things that it's going to be an urban legend that it's going to haunt the Sharknado movies forever.
Let's talk about the – there's never been a movie with more cameos, with more stars from other projects than Sharknado 3. I don't think ever. How does that work at this point? Are people like ringing your phone going, hey, if you ever make a Sharknado movie, I want to be in it? Or was this a long list of people where you said, hey, let's go get Anthony Weiner? I mean, how did all these people end up in your movie?
Well, again, if we had like 100 days to shoot these movies, I think we could have scheduled even bigger cameos. But we're shooting these things in 18 days. So a lot of times is we go after people we want. And then literally on the day, like we had more cameos than we had roles in the movie. So we were shooting the White House thing and we get there and they're going, hey, Rick Fox and Jackie Collins and Lou Ferrigno's here. Write something for them now and put them in the movie. And like, well, we have like 12 pages to shoot and 12 hours to do it. Just make it happen. And so you're literally making this stuff organically happen on the spot. And I think, again, that's part of the energy of these movies. It's a movie of desperation because we can't, if something goes wrong, we can't pawn it off on a day 30. You know, you have to like make the decision right there. And that's the fun part about it. I mean, Jerry Springer, I think we had some stuff scripted and then we just improv the whole
Jerry
thing on the
Springer,
spot.
You guys see him. You guys shot from like 20 feet away and it's about a 3 second scene.
Yeah, you know, but see, that's the cool part about it is we don't want to just have people show up and go waving and hi, I'm in the movie. We at least want to try to give them a character, even if they feel like they're a random extra.
All right. David Hasselhoff is an astronaut.
Exactly.
Obviously.
And here's a clip from Sharknado 3.
The shuttle's solid rocket boosters and the engine combined could produce enough heat. It'd be like a column of flame that would dissipate the storm.
All right, so the idea here is to take up a top secret shuttle and create enough heat that's hotter than the face of the sun, if I'm not incorrect there, to destroy the Sharknado.
Sure.
And this is a shuttle that's never flown top secret. Or has flown secretly in the past.
No, it's a top secret shuttle that was decommissioned and they bring it out of the mothballs. I think the big question is how did they do all of this in an 8 hour period?
Yes. From the time they had the idea to the time they were in space was less than 8 hours, including.
Everyone knows.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Including Ian Ziering, a guy who had never been into space before and all of a sudden is an astronaut.
Exactly. Well, he doesn't proclaim to be an astronaut, but his dad is going to protect him, so, you know, why not? Vin Shepard has been eaten by a shark three times. He can be an astronaut.
That's true. Okay.
All right. So
shuttles are retired. Kind of like me. A whole career. Never once got into outer space.
Well, there always has been rumors about a secret military shuttle.
Don't believe everything you hear.
If there's some top secret classified shuttle, we have to use it. Millions of people are going to die.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Because if it exists,
you have to use it.
And
you
it's
gotta
top
use it.
Secret.
Yeah, you don't save it for another day. This could be the last day.
That's correct.
How is the Hoff to work with, Anthony?
You know, he was great. You know, he's done a lot of things lately where he's kind of playing on his image of the Hoff. And when he came in, we said, we don't want you doing that. We want you to play this as a real character.
We found that hard to get him out of.
But we've had him on. That's true.
Of playing the Hoff. But sometimes he just won't.
But in this movie, he's playing character. He's really good. He plays that crotchety old guy really well. And I think they got him and Ian had a great camaraderie.
I did expect him to say,
the Hoff loves to rock.
He is a goddamned American hero, though. I'll tell
that.
And him saluting us from the moon has got to be one of the most iconic images in American cinematic history.
We could talk to you all day. How did he get from the space shuttle?
Did you see that secret satellite? There was like four different colored buttons. I believe when you press the red button, it takes you to the moon really fast.
Oh!
It's a secret satellite. If the Sharknados can do whatever they want, we can do whatever we want with the satellite as well.
All right, Anthony, a couple more things because we're gonna run out of time if we don't get to this. Do we have a little bit of the song, the Ballad of Sharknado? I want to hear a little bit of that and hear about it.
This is a song you wrote, right?
Yeah, I wrote it with Robbie Riss.
All right, here you go. Go, 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 go. Run away from the Sharknado. It's your greatest fo, fo, fo. Don't want to get eaten by Sharknado. Well, I like that you rhymed Sharknado with fo, fo, fo. That's pretty strong.
I like that. I know they ask you to wear a lot of hats when you're making a movie like this. They only give you 18 days to do it. But they also go to the director and say, hey, you need to write the theme song?
Well, no. I've been writing songs with Robbie for all my movies because you never really can afford to license really cool songs. That's actually me singing on that, too.
Oh, my God.
We actually rhymed Bombs Are Going to Explode, Plow, Plow. That's at the end of the song. But no, it just so when we did this movie, it was kind of rock and roll. And, you know, one of my favorite theme songs was Pet Sematary by the Ramones. I would go, mm-hmm. if the Ramones were still around, what would they have done for us? And it happened really quickly. And everybody's going, don't write it. Everybody's going to make fun of you. It's like, and it became our theme song and everybody loved it. So it's an earworm. Robbie is this amazing, Robbie Rist, you probably know from Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch. He's also an amazing music producer and composer. And when we get together and write these things, he just makes earworms out of them. He does such a great job.
I love that song. And it is available on iTunes if people want to buy it, right?
Yes, it's available on iTunes. Our band is Quint, and we have three EPs out and two songs on the actual Sharknado soundtrack, including this, and a new song we wrote called Crash.
What was last night like for you? Were you watching in real time as things were being talked about online?
We were at Westwood. We had a premiere at the IPIC Theater where we had the cast and crew there, and so we were kind of live tweeting and watching the movie. It's weird, though, because when you're tweeting and trying to watch the movie, you're not really enjoying watching the movie with a crowd at that point.
What kind of feedback did you get, though, that connected with you? I mean, was it a joyful night for you to see it impacting all over the world?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, look, you know, you do these movies and you send it out to the world. I made three other films before the Sharknado movies, and you know, some people see them and some people don't. And to actually just have this global audience for something, you know, there's this pressure too now, especially with three, where it's like, okay, we have to deliver, and so there's a nervousness. So now that it's done and over, it's like a total relief.
All right, now speaking of being done and over, at the end of the movie, at the end of Sharknado 3, correct me if I'm wrong again, Tara Reid's character gets eaten by the shark in space.
Yes.
Falls to the earth.
Yes.
The shark is okay. It looks like it might be dead, but it's not burned up.
Yeah.
And then she had given birth while in the shark falling, and the baby comes out of the shark.
Yeah, and she uses her chainsaw hand to carve a slice into the shark.
Dude. I did have to rewind to see the chainsaw hand because I saw it quickly earlier. I was like, she's got a chainsaw in her hand.
She covers
That's
it
awesome.
With a glove.
Right.
Yeah.
So the baby comes out, and then the... You're asking people to vote now.
Yeah, we're asking people to vote should April Liver die because space debris comes down and almost kills or maybe kills or maybe doesn't kill April. But you can either vote on Twitter, hashtag April Lives or April Dies. My vote is she must live.
I think she has to live. I don't want to break up that happy family.
I was tweeting from the beginning April dies. That's what I wanted to happen. Because Nova is there.
You want Nova to raise the baby.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Now, you know, there's an even crazier ending that we had it just wasn't feasible when we came up with it.
Crazier than the baby getting born in the shark and cutting
that,
through?
There was a precursor to the baby being born on the beach, and that was why it made sense to do it there as a surprise. But originally, they're on the space shuttle, and Tara goes into labor in the space shuttle and gives birth in zero G, and a shark comes up, eats the baby, and cuts the umbilical cord. And then they both get eaten, and then they chainsaw their way out of the shark. But we felt that maybe that was a little too much.
How do you make that decision? How do you decide one thing is too much?
I don't know.
In a movie like this.
Oh, you know, you got to have a balance. The problem was
it was all too much. How do you make that?
I don't know how you get a baby. The hard part was how do you get a baby on green screen that's just born and to composite it in? Because I don't know we could have really created a CGI baby.
Unbelievable. Listen, we're out of time. You must see Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. And also, there's another project that, Anthony, I want you to mention before you go real quick, and that's the comic book that's in your hand, because people may not know this is out.
Yeah, I wrote the Archie versus Sharknado comic in the middle of doing Sharknado 3. It was something we wanted to have happen, and literally they made the deal right when we were shooting and saying, well, good luck, now write it. And I wanted it to be a companion piece to Sharknado 3, so it exists in the same timeline, but it's with Archie characters. So Betty and Veronica are in Washington, D.C., dealing dealing with the Washington Monument while Finn is destroying the White House. And you have the Archie gang, who are – Riverdale's actually on the East Coast. So we were able to have them have to deal with their Sharknado there. It was a blast. And the Archie comic group people, they're amazing. They really were very liberal about letting us do whatever we wanted. And it was fun for me because when we're making these movies, we don't have, you know, a lot of time or money or schedule to do everything. So this was like freedom to be able to do whatever we wanted. And it was all up to Dan Parent, our artist, to kind of make it happen.
Are you going? That's out now. That's available for sale.
That came out yesterday. Yeah.
Great.
Are you going to direct 4?
You know, I still love the genre, but you know what? I think the cool thing that I've proved with the Sharknado movies is that you can do these things economical. So maybe I'll be doing, you know, some big studio movie by that time. But I would still come back to do 4 because I love the franchise.
All right.
I was nervous there for a minute that you were thinking about not doing it because
– No, look, as long as we have ideas, we always have ideas. That's the weird part. I have ideas for 4. It's just one of these things. It's just a fun thing. You can come up with anything with it. And I think that's what's liberating. That's why we don't define what the Sharknado can do. We did a space movie. We did an action movie.
Yeah.
And it's not parody. It's homage. I mean, we even did the James Bond thing at the beginning that I thought was a hoot.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I wouldn't use the word hoot because I don't in general, but I like
it. Yeah, that old-timey kind of thing.
We're back in the 1950s.
He is a great American, and it has been our pleasure to welcome him back for the third film. Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, airs again on Saturday night on Sci-Fi, and then, like you said, streaming after that. Anthony Ferrante, thank you for coming in, man. We enjoyed
it. Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here. For the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Sure, Sharknado 3, but what'd you think of the Lavalantula commercials? That was the draw.
I'm in.
That's the
I'm
draw,
in.
Right?
Saw the commercial, can't wait for Saturday night.
It's the Goot.
Mm-hmm. Steve Guttenberg,
Patrick Renna, myself, Michael Winslow from the Police Academy films.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Sharknado last night, too, by the way.
A lot of the Police Academy gang getting back together again.
It's no Bobcat, though, right?
No Bobcat. Although I talked to Bobcat after the fact, and after I shot the film and I explained to him what was going on and how we had some of his former castmates. And understandably, Bob's like a real legitimate filmmaker now, and I think he likes to distance himself, not from that franchise, but from that persona that he adopted on stage and in his performances.
I can see that.
And stuff.
You
know, he's kind of grown out of it.
Yeah, he's moved on. But I explained it to him and what the premise of the film was. And he was like, no, I wish I had done it. So, but it's going to be Saturday night also, another sci-fi flick. And I'd love to have you check it out.
Ralph, I saw you on my TV last night in the Adam West documentary as well.
No, starring Adam West was on Showtime last night.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much taking over Hollywood.
You are?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm sorry. I'll be the vice president of Hollywood one of these days.
I didn't know that was a position.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Get a big corner office right there at Hollywood Highland.
Sure.
That's where it is.
Sure, yeah. Happy Ice Cream Cone Day, everybody. Just want to get that out before we move on.
Right.
On this day.
To everybody.
On this day in 1904 in St. Louis, the ice cream cone was born.
It was born?
Well, it didn't come out of someone's vagina, but it was invented.
Oh, my God. Really?
Right, yeah. You know the story? You know the legend?
I don't know the legend or
the
story.
Ice cream cone?
I don't. And I should know if anyone should.
It was the Louisiana Purchase Exposition, you know.
Right.
Everybody went to that.
Sure.
That's a good time. That's a big event.
Right.
In St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And the ice cream vendor's there selling ice cream to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs out of dishes. He used to put the ice cream in a glass dish, and that's it. You'd eat out of the dish, then you'd bring the dish back.
Right.
It's 1904. There was no Dixie cups.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he runs out of dishes. How's he going to serve his ice cream to the people? Well, luckily for him, right next door at the booth next door.
Yes,
they're selling waffles.
Boom!
And so he had Waffle Boy brew up some extra waffles, and he would just take them and roll them, and then put the ice cream on top of the waffle, and he'd hand it out, and then you'd eat the ice cream, and then you'd eat the waffle.
And that man's name is Al Jessup.
No, I
don't think it is.
So it's ice cream cone day.
Huh.
Where would we be without the ice cream cone?
I would be dead.
Right, exactly. That's my point. Congratulations to Gordon Ramsay. Master Chef is coming back for a 7th season on Fox.
You guys watch that show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not. He's the chef who yells at people.
He yells at a lot of people.
Well,
a lot of yelling about food.
No, he doesn't yell so much on this show. He yells on his...
Hell's Kitchen show.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The one where he really barks at people and makes them cry and stuff, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong. This is more about – my wife watches this MasterChef, and so I've tuned in from time to time, and it's really kind of fascinating to watch people
– this is a competition?
Yeah, it's a competition cooking show. And it's really an art form. People really can do amazing things. I mean, I know you're not like a food
not at all
per se, Kevin. But, yeah. Anyway, it's well done, and it averages 7.2 million viewers a week. So Fox says, yeah, I think we'll keep it around.
So
really?
No more Knock of that Knock Live? Knock Knock Live won't be on the schedule for next year, Fox? Is that what you're
Ralph,
saying?
Ralph, where is the announcement that Knock Knock Live has been canceled after
Trust
one episode?
Me, I keep scanning the interwebs just desperately looking for that.
They can't bring it back, right?
I've got
they
a
can't.
Knock Knock Google alert just waiting to go off on my phone just any second now.
Do you think they'll announce it or just put something else in its place?
They have to announce it. They always do.
Right. If they change their schedule,
It doesn't go unnoticed by the entertainment media.
For folks who didn't hear, Ralph broke down the Knock Knock Live for us on yesterday's show, and it's a Ryan Seacrest-hosted show where they literally go around and knock on people's doors for an hour on TV. And it was the lowest – do I have this right, Ralph? The lowest-rated premiere in Fox Television Network history.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So there's no way it comes back for a second episode next Thursday or next Wednesday. There's no way, right?
I don't know.
I don't know how you could put that on and claim to be trying to get viewers.
I don't know.
Okay.
You got Seacrest. You got Simon Fuller, who's one of the people behind American Idol. He's also on board.
Right.
So I don't know, is Fox scared to burn those bridges? Do they want to placate those people?
I think at
enough?
Some point, when you have a 0.5, you go, okay, we don't
really
have a choice.
It was a 0.5 rating in the Prime demo, which put it behind Univision for the night. I think 1.2 million viewers or something, as I mentioned, compared to MasterChef, which is pulling in 7.2 million viewers a week. I mean, that's a significant difference.
Seacrest out.
Oh, no, you did. Actually, he did.
Wordplay gold right there.
Did I ever tell you about the ice cream cone?
I feel like at the beginning.
Let's go back to St. Louis in 1904.
No, I thought you meant before
at the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, you told us about that. We did cover that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure?
Yeah. Waffle House, the whole thing, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Radcliffe is 26 years old today. Paul Wesley, Stefan on Vampire Diaries, he's 33. Marlon Wayans is 43. Charisma Carpenter is 45 years old today. Martin Gore, guitarist for a little band called Depeche Mode. He's 54 years old today, as is Woody Harrelson. And Slash celebrates his 50th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:08.
Listening to the what? I'm sorry.
You
again, please.
Kevin Bean Show.
How about every Thursday morning about this time we catch up with our friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
How about that? How about us doing that every Thursday? What's up, guys?
I like it. I'm very disappointed to hear that you were not watching President Mark Cuban in Sharknado 3 last night. Please schedule some time in your busy weekend, Jim, to see the replay on Sci-Fi this weekend.
Who said that I did not see that?
I thought we
did. You see it or did you not see it?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. You were right.
Jim, as usual, even in the dog days of summer, there's some interesting sports things to talk about. And I don't know how much of these would get play if there were actual seasons going on for some of the sports we follow. But LeBron James is back in the news, signing a deal with Warner Brothers Films. Now, he was great in Trainwreck. People were amazed at how funny he is. What's this guy's future making movies and TV shows, do you think?
Now, you're exactly right. In the dog days of summer, typically there's nothing to talk about. But even if we were in the middle of football season, this would still get run because people love Space Jam. I mean, the second that movie airs, it trends, and I think the guy's got a future. I mean, yesterday on social media, people were chirping about how he can't pull this off, he can't hang. If you've seen Trainwreck or even any of the trailers, the guy killed it. So in the debate of who's better, Braun or Mike, Braun finally wins. He is a way better performer. They've got to make that movie. They've got to get it done. And, guys, they've got to put me in it, too.
Do they try to re-sign you? Do they have that kind of bank?
They sure sell better. I haven't heard anything yet. See, this whole thing about Space Jam 2, if it's done, how come I haven't gotten a phone call yet? And on top of that, I need that call because I need that gig, so it better happen.
What was the Space Jam experience like for you? Did that blow up the Jim Rome brand in a big way?
Literally, you and I would not be having this conversation right now if not for that movie. I would not be on radio. I would not be on radio right now if not for that movie. I would never even have a TV show if not for that movie. All of it. It's all because of that movie. Do you believe that?
No. I don't.
I don't, no.
Yeah, it's not true. It's not true. I did that movie way back in the day. What they did was they had me show up, and they put me in front of a camera, and there was some script. And you know the way it goes is they try to write things for me, and it never comes out the way it should, so I just kind of winged it. And then I did it for an hour, and then I was gone. And then 20 years later, I think I made a total of $20 on that movie.
All right.
So, no, it didn't do a whole lot for me.
You made $20 more than I made on that movie.
Did you get friendly at all or spend any time at all with Michael Jordan while the movie's being made?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Okay. You couldn't get within 10 miles of Mike. You know, I'm looking around for him. And the funny thing was, if you watch the movie, it may not feel like straight fire in 2015. But back then, that was like legitimate smack talking. And I wasn't concerned about meeting the guy. I thought he was going to come and hit me in the head. You heard what I said. I came up with some great tennis racket smack for him being able to hit a baseball.
All right. Speaking of basketball, Kobe Bryant is also in the news because of something he didn't do. Let's talk about this Los Angeles Lakers press conference this week.
It was so awesome. So the big three, the Lakers big three of Roy Hibbert, Lou Williams, and Brandon Bass show up at a presser, and then they were asked the question, have you spoken to Kobe, and if so, what did he say to you?
All right, Jim, I have that audio.
Do it. Roll it.
All right, here we go.
Have any of you guys heard from Kobe, and if so, what did he say?
Now it's three guys just staring straight ahead into space.
So what do you guys... All
right. And
so
then they
awesome.
Move on to another question.
I believe I told you guys last week my 10-year-old son likes to say... Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward. So I've got a word for it myself. Hilarious. I mean, safe to say Kobe is not terribly impressed with any of these signings. And if for some reason he didn't reach out to them, maybe that rubbed them the wrong way. But I think it's funny as hell.
Jim, let me ask you a question from their standpoint, though. You're joining the Lakers. You're a new player on the team.
Yeah, that's the leader.
Don't you lie and say, yes, he has.
Or yeah, say, I'm not yet, but we're looking forward to seeing him in camp or something like that to take the awkwardness out of the moment.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be awesome. That's what made that thing so great because that's what these guys always do. They always do something like, yeah, you know, Kobe thumbed out a tweet or he hit me with a text and I can't wait to see the guy. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. But they're not. It's almost like they set it up. I wonder if the three of these guys rolled in there and said to each other before they went out there, look, did he call you? No. Did he call you? No. We ain't playing that game. So if they bring up his name, don't say anything.
That takes stones.
Yeah.
I love it.
Does.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you're just joining the team. Yeah, right.
Especially if you're those guys.
I mean, yes.
It's one thing if you're LaMarcus Aldridge or you're Melo. And these guys are fine. They're serviceable. But if they're going to try and pull that with Kobe, that takes some serious stones.
All right. Last question on that. And is it a ding on Kobe? Is he responsible for reaching out and being the welcoming committee for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Look, this dude is not going to roll up on their doorstep with a plate of brownies. You know, hey, welcome to the party, fellas. This is going to be great. That's not who this guy is, probably. And I don't know for a fact that he didn't. I want to be clear about that. I don't know that he didn't reach out to them. But because he is the alpha and he's the guy, maybe you shoot them a text or two.
Right.
But that's Kobe. That's the Mamba. He's the alpha. And obviously, he's not all that impressed with them or their games.
All right. One more question. And again, I can't believe it's another basketball one in the offseason here. But we now know the name Becky Hammond. Are we impressed? Should we be impressed by what she accomplished in the NBA Summer League?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a great story. She, for those who don't know, she's an assistant coach with the San Antonio Spurs. And they let her coach the Summer League team. A female has never done that before. And not only did she do it, but she won the championship. And yesterday, Adam Silver, the commissioner, was saying, he's got, quote, no doubt that one day she or another woman could be a head coach in the NBA. The thing I like best about this is Greg Popovich is not one of those dudes that would do it because it's a good story or it makes him or the organization look good. If she has nothing to bring to it, he doesn't do it. And I think one day, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, I could see her coaching in the NBA. I think she's that good. And that says a lot about her that he gave her that opportunity and she killed it.
And it's insane for anyone to suggest that a woman shouldn't coach an NBA team or hold any other position like that in sports, right?
It's insane. I mean, absolutely. Again, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but she obviously has the chops. She played the game. She works hard. And if you've got Greg Popovich's respect, I guarantee the players will have her respect, too. I mean, we're looking for a coach, right? Get as much as you can out of your team, motivate and lead. To say that a woman can't do that's lame.
Is Popovich one of the great coaches of all time?
Without question. Okay. Without question. Definitely the best coach in the NBA right now and one of the best ever. And what that guy says and does matters a lot around that league.
You can look for Jim Rome on your TV on Showtime and, of course, on the radio every morning from 9 till noon on AM 980. He is on The Beast, the flagship station of his nationwide Jim Rome show. We enjoyed it, sir. We'll do it again next time.
You dudes are legends. Peace.
Thank you. Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up on the show in about a half hour, a little more. Plus, we'll hook you up with tickets for Foo Fighters in September in Southern California and qualify you for the grand prize drawing we do Monday for the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 to see the band one more time at Austin City Limits. That is coming up. We love that American Ninja Warrior. It's a great show. And it was so fascinating on the Venice Finals to see that guy Nick Coolidge. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, is he the dumpster diver?
He is the dumpster diver.
Yeah, that was weird to me because I thought, you know, you picture dumpster divers as maybe homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
He was an athlete that did really well on that.
He was the, if I recall correctly, in Venice, he was the only one who completed the entire course. He was the only guy who accomplished the invisible ladder. Remember, the other two guys got close, but both fell before they got to the top.
And like it was nothing, too.
Like it was nothing, yeah. So he's an amazing athlete. And the reason I was so interested in his eating habits is you think, man, if you're in the kind of shape that's necessary to be on this show, American Ninja Warrior, imagine how much you must take care of your body. Like you would be so careful about what you're eating. Yet this guy gets all of his meals out of a dumpster.
And couldn't have been more proud about it. Just
couldn't
really
have been more proud.
Yep. I'm cool with this. I get food out of dumpsters.
Now, are those? Is that the same as freegans? Is that the same thing? Because we've talked about freegans before.
I don't know what that is.
All right. We want to hear from you if you are a dumpster diver. If you are currently a dumpster diver or have been a dumpster diver, that's a place that you either get or have gotten your meals. We want to hear what that lifestyle is like at 1-800-520-1067.
We had an intern one time that dumpster dive. She told us that that was one of her main sources of food. And we were like, that's A, gross, and B, amazing.
Well, according to Nick, who was interviewed for his appearance on American Ninja Warrior, he says it's not gross at all, but you're going to hate him out of the gate when you hear the puns that he makes about his lifestyle, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on our way to the dump store.
Okay, he's going to the dump store.
Yeah, I forgot. You know, it's funny. I forgot while watching this how much I hated him and how quickly.
All right, even if you're still hanging for dump store,
yep.
Let's see what's next.
For all the food is free 99.
Kevin, all the food is free 99.
You got a problem with that, you can go yourself.
When I first tell people that the majority of my food is taken out of a dumpster, they give me that eye like, I've never eaten anything that you make. All of the food in the stores are packaged and overpackaged, and then when it's thrown away, it's put inside of a plastic bag that's then in another plastic bag. So really, the food doesn't come anywhere close to contact with a dumpster at all.
All right. Now, does that sound right to you guys that a lot of the food that's in the dumpster is in containers and sometimes double containers, so it's really not exposed to any other trash?
No.
I'm sure some of it is,
some
but
it
I would not say the majority.
And by the
all.
Way, it's not just the dumpster that matters. It's the other trash that could seep in. You know what I mean? Like it's a mess
Please
in there.
Please don't say seep
in. I'm just saying. Do you
but a lot of these, and maybe we'll hear from our listeners when we get them on the line here. Again, 1-800-520-1067. A lot of people I seem to remember from when we've talked about this in the past, they go to supermarkets. That's where they go, where food is oftentimes still packaged,
right?
Yet is somehow damaged. The outside material is damaged. Or, Allie, like we were talking about in the office yesterday, fruit that's dented mm-hmm. or bruised or something like that may be fine on the inside, right?
Sure.
Theoretically?
Sure. Maybe.
Yes. All right, more from Nick.
When I first went dumpster diving, I met somebody there that told me three rules. He said, rule one.
Now, rule one better be don't dumpster dive. Otherwise, this whole exercise is BS.
How's the first person that he runs into somebody that gives him rules for dumpster diving?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
He's fairly charged. All right, let's see what the rules are for dumpster diving.
First come, first serve.
All right, well, that makes sense. First,
please.
If I
we
get
need
here
to be told
first,
that.
It's fine.
Right.
Is there a lot of competition at dumpsters? Are people lined up and, hey, I got here first? I mean, is that a thing that happens?
I don't know.
I guess if there's a hot spot that people know you consistently get good stuff, maybe. All right, that's rule one.
Second rule, leave the place cleaner than when you found it.
Because you don't want to leave a dumpster.
It's a dumpster.
Messy or full of trash, right, Nick?
And the third rule is don't take more than you can eat. So here's the thing of yogurt they threw away, and the only reason it's in the trash is because there's a little crack in the lid. Living this way allows me to save money and pursue acrobatics, and now American Ninja Warrior. One dive could keep me fed for a week.
One dive can keep me fed for a week. So his grocery shopping is going to a dumpster and just loading up for the week. And look at the shape that he's in with the diet where he eats only stuff he gets out of the dumpster. It's kind of remarkable, really.
Yeah, but that's got to be the exception, not the rule, right?
I would think so. Yes, I would think so. He must be really, really good at it. And by the way, do I remember correctly? Is he's not the one who lives in Hawaii, is he? I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I don't remember that.
It's pretty remarkable. All right, let's talk to Portia real quick at 1-800-520-1067. She's in North Hollywood. She is first up on dumpster diving. Hey, Portia, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you?
Hi, doing good. I have a cousin who does it through Trader Joe's and Fresh and Easy dumpsters, and he gets a lot of their prepackaged food and, like, the vegetables that they're throwing out. Takes it home, he eats it, gives it to his mom. He's been doing it for years.
And you've eaten at his house?
I have. I have no idea if I've eaten the food, but I'm guessing I have.
You have?
Well, so he knows the schedule of when they're going to throw stuff away. It hasn't expired or has just recently expired, right?
Correct, because it's all labeled.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Anything they put in the clearance section. So if you go to Fresh and Easy, they put it in the clearance saying half off.
Okay, why do they throw that stuff away then if it's still edible?
Because of the Best Buy date.
Oh, because of the Best Buy.
They have to notify a certain date before it technically isn't spoiled.
And that date is usually well before it's spoiled, I imagine, just to cover themselves.
Correct. Yeah. But it's a safety food hazard, according to one of my friends who's a chef.
All right, well, that makes sense. So, Portia, so how do you feel about that? You see your cousin doing this, and it's working for him. He's saving a ton of money, and it sounds like eating really good food. You have any problem with it?
No, it's prepackaged. It's sealed. I'm fine with it.
So why don't you do it then? Ooh. Why don't you do it then?
Ooh, good one.
Oh, I'm not dumping in. I'm not diving in.
But why not? It sounds like it's nothing but positives.
It's positive. I'd rather pay the half-off price.
Dumpster dive.
What if you had somebody to dumpster dive and they handed it to you so you didn't have to get dirty?
A designated diver.
Designated diver. Yes.
That would be, well, I already have one.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You guys got her cousin. Okay. All right, Portia, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. George, you hang on, buddy. Chris, Josh, we'll get to everybody. We want to hear from dumpster divers on the Kevin and Bean Show right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Talking about dumpster diving here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the contestants on American Ninja Warrior does it. He says once a week he goes down to the dumpster and he does all of his shopping for the week and he eats great and you guys can't believe how much wonderful food is thrown away. I don't think it's for me, but maybe it's for our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. Got some calls on the line. Why don't we start with George. George is in Simi Valley. He's on line two. He'll get the conversation going.
Hey, George.
I bet this is something 99.9% of our listeners have never thought of or certainly tried, right?
I would guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, George, what's up, buddy?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you. You dumpster dive.
I dumpster dive a lot.
Okay.
Why?
Why? Because there's money there, baby, and food is food. In my experience, you know, I go around like apartments and stuff, and, you know, people, you know, they get kicked out or they get booted or whatever. And then the managers go in, they'll get a nice clean bag and fill up the refrigerator, everything in the refrigerator, everything in the freezer, put it in the bag and throw it in the dumpster. And it's just like
Wait for somebody to get bounced from their apartment and then they toss all their food away? You have to wait for somebody to literally be kicked out?
Oh, it happens all the time.
But how do you – like, do you go to the dumpster every day to see if there's a new bag in there or is there a certain –
No, it's like about three times a week because, you know, you have to time the door of these trucks, okay? So like where I'm at, I wouldn't go on a Monday because Monday morning they empty the dumpster. So Monday would be a wasted day for me. Tuesday, yeah, a little bit. But say Thursday, then Saturday, Sunday, perfect day.
There's no way you're real, George.
Allie's calling BS on you, George.
Really?
Yep.
George,
are you BS on me?
Yep. Are you for real? Allie thinks you're playing a character.
All right. Are you kidding me? I am absolutely for real. I've been doing this for 20 years. I do it all the time. I was making my living on it for a long time, you know, not only getting food, but there's so much food.
Wait. How do you make your living? You find stuff that people threw away and then sell it?
That, and then there's cans and bottles and all kinds of stuff.
What's considered a great meal out of a dumpster, George?
When they dump the freezer and you got chicken or you got steaks or you got fish, it's all still frozen. Because if you're there on the same day, the stuff's all still frozen, all good to go.
What about seepage?
Seepage?
I'm just saying, there's other trash.
No, that's what I was saying. A lot of times, all that stuff goes into one bag.
Right,
that's what Kevin's question is.
Now, if it's in separate bags, you have to be careful. But, you know, if it's not sealed and you're going to cook it, there's nothing wrong with
it. Where are you from, George?
I'm from Simi Valley.
Simi Valley.
Oh, local. Okay.
Are you New York, every other word? I'm not buying it. Huh? I don't know.
You're not buying it.
What do you mean you're not buying it? I'm from Simi Valley.
What are you talking about? I get on the phone to tell you I'm a dumpster diver, and that's not proof enough for you?
Well, I mean,
I'm Team George, by the way. I'm totally buying George.
All right.
Last question, George. Is it a financial consideration for you, or is it just you're environmentally and socially conscious?
No, it's financial.
Financial. Okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
What? I'm a joke to you. I'm a joke to you over here in Simi Valley.
All right. Let's talk to line four, please, and Josh in Roland Heights. Let's see if Josh is for real.
Oh, Josh. I'm sorry. I went to Buddy. Hold on 1 second. All right. Let's go to Josh. Hi there.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie McKay. How are you?
We are good.
Back in college, I was doing the dumpster diving thing, but I wasn't like that guy doing it in apartments. I did it in supermarkets. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we were questioning, is the major supermarkets, if you know what day they throw out the food and all that, it maybe makes sense.
Yeah, you have a system.
Absolutely. See, the hardcore people, the easy people, they're the ones who get the prepackaged stuff, like the cereals and dry foods. Now, the hardcore people are the ones who actually get the produce, like vegetables and meats that they throw out.
Yeah.
And Kevin's concern is true. There is seepage, but if you find like a block of cheese that's inside its vacuum packaging,
right,
that's great.
I know that John Oliver, who does that Sunday Night Show on HBO that's so great, he just did a big piece on how much food Americans throw away. Is it shocking to you when you used to open up a dumpster, Josh, to see how much perfectly edible food was thrown away?
Absolutely. And the bad thing about it is when you go to places like Beverly Hills, when they actually lock the dumpsters to keep the homeless out. Now, that's bad.
But, do they do that because they're afraid they'll get sued? Or what's the – why would they do that?
I have no idea. There are far smarter people than I that can answer that question.
I wonder if – I know that in the tape we heard from the American Ninja Warrior guy, he said you're supposed to leave the place neater than when you showed up. But I wonder if not everybody follows those rules and they locked it so that people don't get in there and start throwing stuff out as they're digging through it looking for other things. Maybe it just made a big mess around the dumpster and that's why they started.
It's a food fight.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that even though we're doing the dumpster diving thing, we don't want to get caught because security does come around and start snooping and start asking questions. God forbid a cop comes by.
Well, let me ask you that, Josh. Is it illegal?
I think technically it's considered trespassing.
Because you're on private property if you're in somebody's dumpster.
Exactly.
All right, last question for you, and I'm so glad you called, sir, and you used your real voice. And that is, why did you stop? It sounds like you had a pretty sweet deal.
Because I kind of grew up, went to law school, and became a lawyer.
Ah. But isn't the food just still as good?
The food is still just as good, but, you know, eventually you grow up and you just want to go into a supermarket. It's like, you know what? This is great. I don't have to wash my hands afterwards.
Okay.
That's an important safety tip, is to not have to wash your hands.
I'm glad you called. Thank you so much, Josh. And the takeaway for today's show is if you dumpster dive, you will grow up and become a lawyer.
I think that's true. Anybody you want to apologize to, Allie?
No!
Maybe George?
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, nice people I work
with. We talked to George a few minutes ago about dumpster diving, mm-hmm. and it sounded to me, and it sounded to Allie McKay, like he had an East Coast accent.
That was going in and out.
It was going in and out, so
that
was
BS.
Weird to us. And then Ralph came in and said maybe he had some kind of a condition, and we were like, oh, no, really?
Bean heard the same thing. Some sort of speech impediment.
That's what I thought was going on.
Why wouldn't you say something? You know that's not what we meant.
What am I supposed to say? On the air, hey, George, what's going on with your speech impediment? Because you guys just thought I heard an accent, I thought. I thought George was legit, and I appreciate him listening, and I'm grateful that he called and shared his experience.
If we had pointed out some sort of speech impediment, you and Allie would have piled on even worse and
that
made him feel worse
true.
By attacking him even harder.
That is
first
not true,
of all,
sir.
A that's New York accent is a speech impediment, so that's what I thought
Easy,
it was.
Easy, Boston.
All right. Hey, listen, Rob is here. Time for the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning.
Oh, are you done with hobo talk now? Can we move on to something else?
We are, actually.
Just add some chocolate to that spoiled milk in that dumpster. It'll be fine. I was waiting for that tip.
That's a good idea. And then we'll talk to Dr. Drew, who is in the middle of a police investigation about
a
threat that happened on his CNN TV show.
Right, he threatened to kill that guy, remember?
I'm not sure of the details.
And then he gave him drugs.
Nope.
That's probably what happened, and then he impregnated that teen mom. I know how Dr. Drew works. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of it coming up right off the top of the hour. And then, by the way, if you've heard by now, if you were planning on coming to K-Rock today for the Imagine Dragons and the Red Bull Sound Space, you've heard that has been postponed. A new date has...
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
We are going to be talking to a member of Imagine Dragons to find out exactly... No. What's going on with Dan, their lead singer, and why he could not perform today. It was a colossal disaster. So we got that coming up in the next half hour. First, though, here's Ralph.
I am still following minute by minute the Swift Minaj feud that is developing as we speak all morning long.
Has it been continuing?
Yes,
it has.
Now Ed Sheeran has entered the fray.
Sweet.
And Ed Sheeran, as you know, is a colossal pussy who does nothing.
See, I don't know that.
Oh, he's a major wuss.
He's got an amazing voice. That's all I know.
But he's just a ginger vagina.
Okay. he's team Taylor all the way.
Oh, boy,
right?
Is he. Just.
Well, then I'm against him.
What an ass kisser he is. By the way, you don't have a shot, Ed, so just stand down. Don't even try so hard.
Oh, you think this is a move?
Oh, yeah.
A play?
I'm with you, Taylor. Can I be something more than a friend? No. You ginger weenie. Stop it. So he came forward and said, I think everyone knows that Taylor has done nothing wrong in this situation.
What?
Ugh. She didn't nominate herself for the awards. She just made some good videos, and people think they're good. You're the best, Taylor Swift. Yes, you are. Yes, you're the best. What a tremendous douchebag he is. That happened, right? And for those of you who don't know, we're talking about, of course, that Nicki Minaj came out and said that she was disappointed that her video was not nominated for the MTV Video Music
Award. As well she should have been, by the way, because
it was Anaconda,
clearly
huge.
One of the best videos of the year.
Huge, huge, phenomenal hit video. It was controversial. Everyone talked about it. It was great. Everyone loved it. And so she came out and said, well, you know, if you're skinny woman, then you can get nominated, but otherwise, forget about it. And then Taylor Swift took it personally and thought she was talking about her and said, oh, I do nothing but love you. Why do you pit woman against woman? It was just insane that Taylor Swift injected herself into the situation. Then now, Katy Perry has to come out and say, you do it all the time, you bitch. She threw a cantaloupe at her, and then it got nuts.
Now, Rob, I know you're the world's foremost authority on this this Twitter feud.
I am following
Minaj Gate. Let me ask you for
Minaj
some
Gate 2015.
Let me ask you for some interpretation, and I'm even keeping in mind your pre-existing bias going into this story. But when Nicki Minaj said, "Oh, if you're a thin girl or slender girl, whatever she said, your video gets nominated." Did you think she was not talking about Taylor Swift? Is that your interpretation?
I didn't get a sense she was talking about Taylor Swift at all.
Because that was the only woman who was nominated for a video in that category.
But every video other than Nicki Minaj's features thin women.
Mm-hmm. So
I think she's talking about the state of music videos and racial and body gender stereotypes in general in videos.
Big girls get no love. Okay,
that's
gotcha.
The sense that I got. Yeah, she was saying big girls with big asses don't get the love. It goes to the skinny girls.
All right, so Taylor jumps in, then Katie jumps in, then Ed Sheeran jumps in. What else is going on?
Then Taylor Swift now has released another statement.
Yes, keep it going.
Here's her.
This is so fun.
This may end it, though, Kevin. I'm sorry. Yeah, this may end it. Taylor Swift tweeted just this morning, I thought I was being called out. I missed the point. I misunderstood, then misspoke. I'm sorry, Nicki.
Who wrote that for her?
I don't know, some lawyer or something. So she admits that she was wrong. So my answer is then she has to set herself on fire then, right? Isn't that the rules?
I think so. I think that's the rules.
Or fall on a sword, right? Those are her two options.
I believe so.
The honorable way to resolve this is for her to give up a limb. Get the bone saw. That's what we're saying, right?
This is a colossal disaster.
Look, if we're into death or de-limbing for writing bad tweets, I can't support that.
True.
It's
rest
true.
In peace, Bean.
Oh, no. colossal disaster.
But you can still hate her, even though she admitted she was wrong and apologized, right?
But why did she have to stick her nose in the first place?
She didn't write that. Yeah, that was a PR person.
Absolutely.
She totally 100% writes her own
tweets. You don't know any more than I do.
No, she doesn't know.
You don't know any more than I do.
100% writes her own tweets.
I'm guessing and you're guessing.
I'm not guessing. Well, I mean, I'm taking at face value what has been said by her and everyone around her since Twitter began, which is that she 100% writes her own tweets.
How much research
since it began
have you done?
And this is the annals of history of Twitter back in the 1800s when Silas Twit first put telegraph to wire, and he did the first tweetograph.
Look, it won't surprise you that I do try to stay current when it comes to Taylor Swift-related stories, okay?
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
No.
So, this is a colossal disaster.
So Taylor may or may not have tweeted that, depending on who you believe.
Ripper to shreds.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed.
Monty apparently is on Team Katie.
Really quickly, we were talking about Knock Knock Live over on Fox.
Yes.
Yes.
No word yet. It'll be back.
It did air once.
It did air once to dismal ratings. Maybe they'll give it another week and see if it comes back.
Yeah, I was thinking that too because it's new and all that. But it's the worst in the history of Fox.
Worst premiere in Fox history. Yeah,
and they
in terms of ratings.
That seems impossible.
So one of our funny listeners, Edwin, who writes in quite a bit, wrote in this email. He said, "What Fox needs to do is present a new show where they knock on Ryan Seacrest's door and tell him on live TV that his show is canceled." That I would watch. That's an excellent point.
That would be good.
I hope Fox is listening. If you're going to air one more Knock Knock Live,
that
would be the one to
That'd
air.
That'd be a great way for it to go out.
It'd be about a minute and a half long, and then you go into a real show.
And it would have a 48 share with a 92 rating. Today's celebrity birthday. Slash is 50 years old today. Woody Harrelson is 54. Martin Gore also turns 54 today. Charisma Carpenter turns 45. Marlon Wayans of the Funny Wayans is 43 years old. Paul Wesley, who plays Stefan on Vampire Diaries, 33 years old. And Daniel Radcliffe made a bunch of films about the little small independent British films about a child going to school.
It was Harry Potter.
I believe that was the name of the
movie. Oh, saw them, Kevin? Yeah. You don't usually see those small indies.
Yeah, it was very British. It was very British. And it was a quaint little tale of a young lad coming of age.
Someone told me those were based on books, though, but I don't recall hearing anything about that.
Books are for suckers.
Right.
Daniel Radcliffe's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just gave away another pair of Foo Fighters tickets for an upcoming September Southern California show to a Kevin and Bean listener from Glendale. Look at his name, Kevin. Look at his name.
It's been erased. I can't see his name.
Sean Super.
Sean Super.
How awesome is that?
All right.
That's a powerful name. Sean, congratulations. You'll see Foo Fighters. You're also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday for K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015. Stop number 3 to see the Foo Fighters again at Austin City Limits, along with Modest Mouse, Walk the Moon, Alt-J, and so much more. Your next chance to qualify at noon. Details at K-Rock.com. Do we have Dr. Drew on the phone?
We do.
Dr. Drew Pinsky making international news lately as a result of something that happened on his very popular HLN show, which airs Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Hey, Doc. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
So you were there. Bring our listeners up to speed with what happened that night on your show.
Well, we were having a little conversation about Caitlyn Jenner and the ESPY Awards and whether or not everyone believed that it was appropriate for her to get that award. And it was sort of a positive conversation. And we had in the group Zoe Tour, who is a transgender woman. When she was a male man, she was the helicopter pilot that chased the O.J. Bronco also was, I think, flying over the Reginald Denny attack.
Wow. Yeah, he was. It was Bob Turr back then, and he was at the time he very widely known as a media figure in Southern California for a long, long time, and for several years now has been living transgendered as Zoe, right?
Exactly, a super smart person, very knowledgeable about transgender issues, and I was trying to get her to talk about some of the brain issues. She's very familiar with this topic, and is sort of. It doesn't toe the line and really is willing to say things that are factual but may not be easy to digest. And in the group also was Ben Shapiro, who is a very conservative radio talk show host here locally. And he started becoming extremely obstreperous, saying, well, this is a delusion. I don't have to support people's mental illness. And does she have an X and a Y chromosome or not?
He was saying this to her.
To me, and refusing to look at her and just... he got sat next to her. We literally sat everybody down and went, is everybody okay? We're going to sit here, okay? We don't, like, design the seating. But he was sitting
next to her. Yeah, it's
not
Springer.
And I didn't know him. I did not know him. I didn't realize this. You know, these were things, producers cast these people. And lo and behold, this guy is obstreperous. Okay, so we're going to have a lively conversation.
Dr. Drew, I don't know what that word means. I'm sorry.
Difficult to deal with.
Okay.
Cantankerous. Okay.
All right, good.
And suddenly, Zoe starts taking him on and says, hey, come on now. You don't know what you're talking about, little boy. And starts being a little demeaning to him and a little bit insulting. And he this is where it gets kind of problematic. He goes, sir, you need to not, I'm not talking to you, sir. Is this a conversation? And that was that. And finally.
He was saying that to the
Zoe,
woman. Okay.
To Zoe, to her. And she got a little upset. And no one lost their cool. I mean, I'm trained to sit in a group and know when to jump up and jump between people and allow emotions to fly high so people have a chance. I mean, you've seen Celebrity Rehab. I mean, that's
sure.
What I know how to do. And I was watching very carefully, and I thought, oh, do I need to get in here? And Zoe sort of put her hand on the back of Ben's neck. And if this is the part where she got herself
put
in
one hand on the back.
One hand on the back of the neck,
right.
But kind of hooked her fingers around his neck as though she was pulling him towards her. Didn't really pull him towards her, but at least was in position to do so.
Right.
And said, you keep that up. And you're going home in an ambulance.
And then you hit someone with a chair.
No chair.
That didn't happen.
Everybody cooled down.
All right.
Said,
wait, so Ben Shapiro was or was not the father?
No.
Jeez. Okay, so.
Kevin, I think you need to be a guest on our show. I'm booking you. I need you there.
I would watch every day if Kevin were on the panel.
I'll be a panelist.
All right, so look.
Done, by the way.
Look, there's certainly no need in any kind of civilized conversation about a topic to resort to violence. But did anyone think that it was really a threat of violence, or was it just, hey, you're annoying me and I'm saying something to get it off my chest?
Nobody. It was uncomfortable and inappropriate. But I really, you know, I was assessing second to second, and at no point did I feel like something was about to happen. You know, the attorney, Anahita Sedigatfar, she was sitting, we actually didn't have an audience that night. We just were ourselves on our set, on the stage, and we had guests coming down that were going to be booked, you know, coming into the panel next, you know, next block.
Right.
And she was sitting directly behind them in the audience, you couldn't see her, and watching the whole thing, too. And we came in afterwards and said, look, hey, everybody. Respectfulness. And by the way, good old Mike Catherwood took off after Ben a little bit and said, hey, that's not appropriate. You're being needlessly provocative. Stop it. And it stopped, and we went on and had a conversation.
When Psycho Mike
is the voice of reason.
He's the voice of reason.
He literally said on more than one occasion, you know what you were doing.
What the hell?
Do you guys have a recording of this? You've obviously heard it. Is it available?
Oh, we saw it. We all saw it. I don't know that we have the audio sent in right now.
Do.
I'm sorry to say,
all
Dr.
Right.
Drew.
That's okay. But in any event, so you know, we during the break, we came in and said, look, do anybody want to move seats? Are you comfortable? You want to go on? But look, I want to need everybody to look me in the eye and contact me. There'll be no more aggression, no more violence. There will certainly be no physical violence. Everyone went, yeah, okay, we're fine. And lo and behold, on the way out, because Zoe did one more block and then left, she has said, I guess under her breath, I'll see you in the parking lot to Ben.
Ben
now is calling the police, filing police reports. He then calls in on Adam and Drew podcast, which is going to air on Sunday, and tells me that he's applying, you know, filing a police report. He's been battered and assaulted. I had no idea that he felt that way. It was not that extreme a situation.
And that's ridiculous that he's taking those steps,
well,
right?
My buddy Adam Kroll thought it was a great idea. But this was interesting. Adam got very mad at me and said, hey, what if the tables were turned? What if Ben had done that to Zoe? We'd all be screaming outrage. Ben would never be able to work again. And, of course, Corolla took that line and practically screamed me out of the room.
Do you think he's right?
Yeah, he would have been different. I mean, you got to admit, that would have been a lot different kind of an impact. And that's kind of what's sort of an interesting thought experiment, this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, maybe it depends on kind of who you're rooting for in the argument when you're watching the thing,
and
who you think was in the right.
It doesn't make any of it okay.
No, certainly not.
I wasn't intending it. I don't want it. I don't want to be any part of it. And man, this thing went everywhere.
All right, Dr. Drew, let me ask you a question, because you talked about being on Celebrity Rehab, and you've done a lot of rehabs too, and that's your expertise. That's not these people's.
No.
What happened?
Somebody got on our
call
phone
waiting.
Here. No, somebody just got on my phone.
Okay.
just to join the conversation.
So were other people there? Might they have felt more threatened than you perceived?
Yes. Yeah. No, listen, I actually thought a lot about it afterwards, and I remember the time I walked across a group, and a guy jumped out of a group. I didn't know a group was underway, and he jumped out and grabbed me and held me and said, you can't be here. And I said, oh, sorry, I'm just walking through. I didn't realize a group going on. And he got really nasty, and the group monitor didn't stop it. Now, nothing happened, but it felt bad. And I thought, all right, I know what that feels like. It feels
right.
Bad. It's not okay. It's not, nothing about it's okay. I understand what he's doing. But the Hollywood PD are now investigating.
All right. Let me ask you my final question, Dr. Drew. And I'm not in any ways.
I've invited them both back. I've invited them both for comment. I admire them both. I have nothing. I have no horse in the race.
Because you do bum fights on Friday night. Right? That's you.
Yeah, you're coming on my show.
Here's my question for you, Doc. Look, I don't support anything that Ben Shapiro said. I mean, saying that transgender people have mental illness and are delusional, I'm not down with any of that. Is he factually correct to say that Zoe Ture is still biologically a man, though?
Yes, that's
genetically not a man.
Genetically, but that's okay. Never been an issue.
That's not the point of the whole thing. But no, I'm just trying to. Okay.
Yeah, this is and listen, television. I don't have this kind of time on television. Things happen very quickly, and so I couldn't get into the argument about genetics.
Right.
That Zoe started walking into. I wanted to talk about the fact that they're brain issues. They're just like with every behavior, with every biological process of the human behavior and human experience. There's brain phenomena that are unique to people that have these transgender sorts of feelings. And so we were going to talk about that because it's just like we would talk about other behaviors. There's brain correlates with that, and it makes it kind of interesting. But we weren't going to have it. No one would have it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I hope that they do agree to your request to come in and hash it out in a more civilized manner and that everybody can be friends, even if they may not agree on everything. Because
I like, and me will sing Kumbaya. Be great.
that's what it takes. Dr. Drew. And
I mean, I'm Kevin for that particular show. Kevin will be sitting.
I will be there. Geez. You think I won't?
You think I'm kidding?
Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood co-host Loveline 5 nights a week on K-Rock. Of course, also on KABC in the afternoons. And Dr. Drew on call Monday through Thursday night at HLN at 6. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you soon.
You guys. Always.
Red Bull Sound Space this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Nope.
I can't wait.
Why would you do
imagine
that?
Dragons,
why
one of the
why are you doing
best
that?
Bands we've had at K-Rock in years. They're just tremendous performers.
Why would you do that? But.
And every day for the last 2 weeks, we've been giving you tickets to come to K-Rock. What? What are you saying? What's the problem here?
It's been canceled.
It has been postponed.
It's
only been postponed, and we're very sad about this. We sent the word out to all of our winners yesterday. Dan Reynolds, lead singer for Imagine Dragons, having some voice problems. We wanted to find out more about it and wish the band the very best and talk about the rescheduled date. And we asked, hey, who can we talk to? How about our little friend Ben, who plays bass for the band? And he's on the phone right now. Hi, Ben. How are you, sir?
I am doing terrific. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
We appreciate you coming on. I know how hard you guys work and how much you guys love playing shows. It must have been a very difficult decision to pull the plug on the Sound Space today.
We hate canceling shows. We've only done it twice before in the 7 years we've been together.
Let me stop you right there. How is that possible that you've only canceled two shows in 7 years?
We push ourselves to the point of, just absolute self-abuse. We really, if there's any physical way that we can possibly do it without causing, long-term damage to ourselves, we will absolutely go out and find a way to make it happen. We even once had a show, a festival sort of fell apart, and I think it was in Kansas somewhere, and because the festival canceled, we decided we just couldn't handle that. So we got all the bands together and sort of threw our own mini festival concert there instead. We love to play, and especially out in LA, we have so many friends, so much family, so many people that, we were looking forward to playing for out here. And to have to cancel, it really kind of breaks our hearts. About, I guess it was about 4 years ago now, maybe 5 years ago, we did a stint down at South by Southwest where we played 16 shows in 3 days.
Oof.
And by the end of that, Dan really, he physically couldn't talk. It was it was a different voice coming out of his mouth. And after that, he had to get some pretty severe vocal surgery. So ever since then, we've really been very careful. Whenever his voice starts to get strained, we get him checked out, a lot of times between gigs, he has to be completely silent. He can't talk to anybody.
Wow. That'd be so great with some of the people that work here. That would be so great.
Ben, it's so funny. I'm almost surprised that this doesn't happen more often with lead singers, especially with your band, because, I see how energetic, Dan is on stage and he sings, just full throated for the whole night. If we work a long day, if we're at an acoustic Christmas or a weenie roast or something like that, and I talk a lot for 8 hours, I'm hoarse the next day, and that's just on one regular day of talking, not even singing. I don't know how you guys do it sometimes back-to-back nights even and are able to sound as good as you do.
I know Dan really puts so much energy into making sure that he's conditioned himself for the shows. I mean, he's changed his diet. He does warm-ups for an hour before, cool-downs for an hour after the show. He has to eat at certain times of the day. He has to go to bed hungry because it's best for his voice.
What?
And sometimes...
wait. Did somebody...
Not enough.
Is he seeing an expert, or is this just guesses?
Oh, no. This is definitely... proven advice from medical professionals.
Why do you not eat before you go to bed? How does that help your voice?
Because you can have digestive issues. Sometimes you can have like some acid reflux or something that really messes with your vocal cords. There's also certain foods that are just inflammatory that cause your vocal cords to swell more, be more prone to the swelling. You just can't do it. It's like boot camp.
How stoked are you that you play bass?
Oh,
that
yeah.
sucks, right?
Make sure I eat something greasy before I go on.
Right?
So my fingers are nice and slippery, and then I'm good to go.
Look, if my doctor comes to me and says, well, you're going to have to start going to bed hungry or to save your voice, I go, well, too bad I'm not in a band.
Yeah. Sacrificed a lot. It's crazy.
This is the voice of Ben McKee, bass player for Imagine Dragons here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about their rescheduled appearance at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock, which, by the way, is going to be on September 29th, as we alerted the winners yesterday. When did trouble start coming on for Dan this week, Ben?
It's been a matter of just not being able to – he hasn't been able to get enough rest between shows to really get back to, you know, the level that he needs to be at. So it's kind of been the last couple of shows he's just been feeling a little more strained, and I think he pushed himself. He was feeling a little strained going out on our last show, and where were we? I can't even remember right now, but he got out there and he just pushed himself extra hard, and I think that's what caused him to have the inflammation. We never want to give a show that's anything less than the best that we can, and Dan will push himself to give the best show he can, but if he gets to a point where even just pushing himself harder isn't going to do it anymore. It isn't going to do anything except for injure himself. You know, we got to.
You got to do it. I know.
To make it work.
A lot of our people listening right now probably have tickets to see the band tomorrow night at the Forum. How do you think he'll be? Like, will he be 100% or close to it tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dan should be good by tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a matter of we really needed to have that show be. I mean, it's the Forum. It's a really special place to us. L.A. is a really special audience for us. We love our fans out here. We wanted to make sure that we had at least one show at top form that we could give to everybody. And, unfortunately, to do that, we had to take a day of rest.
Understood. Hey, look, we want him to be healthy. We want you guys to be well and put on a great show, like you said. So it's just unfortunate. A lot of people were disappointed, but you'll make it up to him. September 29th, you'll be in the Red Bull Sound Space. They'll get a chance to see up close and personal. It'll be a lot of fun.
We'll be coming back there. It'll be a good time. I was wondering, I haven't seen you guys in a long time. Bean, how you doing since that little fall off that stage?
That is a great question.
That was something. I gotta say, I flew my mom down to L.A. for that show. She hadn't seen anything. She hadn't seen one of the Christmas festivals before.
Uh huh.
I went out into the audience. I was sitting there. We were excited. You know, No Doubt was about to come on.
Yep.
And then
we know what happened, Ben.
No,
we know what happened
because maybe not everyone knows.
It was crazy. I was really worried for you there. I got to say, the most impressive thing I think was how Dr. Drew jumped down off the stage like full medical professional mode. Like I'm going to save the day.
He was the first face I saw when I came out of my being passed out. I mean, I did pass out when I hit the ground, but the first face I saw.
That's a hell of a drop.
Yeah,
you know, the only time we've had somebody fall off of our stage was when Dan actually passed out and fell off the stage at the Weenie Roast a few years ago.
Oh, my God. Bad deal. Well, it's been an epidemic ever since then because, of course, it happened to The Edge. It had happened to Dave Grohl. I mean, it happened to
Everybody cool is taking after you, Bean.
I'm just saying it's a thing that happens, but it's no bueno, Ben. There's nothing good about it.
Start a petition for lower stages and security barrier. Let's turn that into a ball pit.
Well,
everybody can have a
ball pit.
Then.
Good.
More importantly, how was your mom after the fall? Was she okay?
I know she witnessed
it. She was fine and thoroughly entertained.
Thank God. Thank God.
That's all that matters. Is that your mom was entertained. That's all I have. All right,
yes,
Ben. Well, listen.
Anything for a laugh.
Give our best to Dan, and thank you very much for the time today. And we accept your. I was going to say apology.
Yeah,
you didn't apologize,
what are we
but
accepting?
I mean, we accept.
Well, let me offer an apology.
You don't have to.
Terribly sorry that we.
You don't have to at all. We totally understand. We just
promise we will be back and fully vigorous. In September.
Fantastic. Forum tomorrow night, September 29th, the Red Bull Sound Space. Ben McKee from Imagine Dragons. We appreciate it, sir. Take care.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you.
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Like, all right, a here we go. What a place here. Who fell off the stage?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Ralph Garman, what do you got? You just came in here with a bunch of papers.
Man, we've been following Menagegate all morning long. It appears as if our long national nightmare may in fact be over.
Yay!
Seems as if the hostages have been released.
What has changed, Ralph?
Well, as you know, if you were listening all morning long, we were covering the fact that Taylor Swift responded to Nicki Minaj's original tweet about the VMA nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki Minaj then responded to her very hostily. Then Katy Perry jumped into the fray, saying that Taylor Swift often pits woman against woman. It's funny that she would use that sort of feminism against Nicki Minaj. Then Ed Sheeran, another woman, jumps into the fray.
He's a man.
What?
He's a man.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that one. But he said, Taylor didn't do anything wrong. She's the best. She didn't nominate herself for those awards. She's just a victim of nominations, apparently. Well, Taylor Swift then stepped up and said...
Or Taylor Swift's people.
Someone in the Taylor Swift camp
tweeted
the following. I thought I was being called out. I missed the point. I misunderstood, then misspoke. A lot of misses. In this, I'm sorry, Nicki, at Nicki Minaj. So, that was the first olive branch that was extended. Now we have an up-to-date response from Nicki Minaj. I'm getting from the news team about 15 minutes ago. Apparently, this was available on Twitter. That means so much, Taylor. Thank you. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. That from Nicki Minaj.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
But then, minutes later, Nicki Minaj also tweeted, kissy face at Katy Perry.
Oh,
as if
wait.
Thanking her for supporting her side of the argument.
Interesting. Oh, so nice. Now where are
so
we?
So that kind of undermines her accepting of Taylor's policy if she's now showering praise on Taylor's enemies. Right?
Well,
I'm trying to keep this thing alive, Ralph.
Then, then Minaj the illest... Someone on Twitter who goes by the handle Minaj the Illest,
okay.
I'm assuming is a Minaj fan.
Sure.
Tweeted, so glad Nick and Taylor made up, to which Nicki Minaj responded just a few moments ago. This is latest breaking news. I've always loved her. Everyone makes mistakes. She gained so much more respect from me. Let's move on, she said.
And now, breaking
that
news boom.
Just did that. Just did
that.
That
was just minutes ago. So news. We believe that Minajgate... may finally be subsiding. The horror, all the horror, all the colossal catastrophe.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster of mythic proportions.
Right.
But now I think we can all go into the MTV VMAs with our heads held high and our hopes intact.
But because we have to do a show tomorrow, we would like two other celebrities to get into it, please.
Get into a beef.
We
this
need
is
a Twitter
all about
beef.
The VMAs, by the way.
Yeah, the
all
most irrelevant thing.
The MTV VMA Awards.
Now, is there anything to the suggestions online that the entire thing is being orchestrated by MTV? It's a conspiracy to promote the show and to promote the inevitable reconciliation of all the ladies on stage together
have
that night.
Have you no soul? Is everything suspect to you, you cynical bastard?
It's not my theory. It's one that's out there, though.
But there you are selling it. There you are shoveling that BS to an unwitting audience of ours. And
or,
I won't stand for
if
it.
If that's the case, well played, MTV.
I mean, it's the first time we've talked about MTV in a long-ass time.
Well,
right?
Why the ass got to be long?
Well,
if it was a skinny ass, then I guess you'd be talking about it.
Get started with that.
By the way, in a fight, Nicki kills Taylor Swift.
Oh,
right?
It's not even
just
a fight.
Kills her.
Yes. Yeah. Nicki could beat Taylor Swift to death with Ed Sheeran. That's what I'm guessing. That's how it would go down. That ginger vagina.
You're a fan?
Ugh, him.
Taylor didn't do anything wrong. She's just a victim of all her nominations and greatness. I'm Ed Sheeran.
That's how he talks?
I don't know.
He is Muppet-like.
Little Raggedy Andy. Take him out. Where is he? Get him on the phone.
He's not here.
Get him on the phone.
We don't have his number.
You have his number.
What are you talking about?
You do.
Is Don on the phone?
Get Don on the phone. Fed up. This is a weird story. Sundance TV. Anybody watching the Sundance channel? Anybody watch the Sundance channel?
Occasionally there's something on that's interesting.
They've got a reality show called Laura Donna Esquire. Story of a woman who used to work for the LAPD, got into being a defense attorney. There was a reality show followed her around and stuff.
Yeah, I've not seen that, no.
You won't be seeing it. She was found dead yesterday morning here in Redondo Beach.
The police are looking at Taylor Swift.
Yes, isn't that something?
Isn't that crazy?
She was 47 years old. Her boyfriend, who was also on the show, called the police and said she has been shot. They got there, they found that she had died from a gunshot wound, and they arrested him on suspicion of murder.
Oh.
Just when that show was getting good, they canceled it.
You had not watched one episode.
Nope. And speaking of television, Sharknado 3, of course, last night on Sci-Fi. Big deal.
Ooh. Do we have ratings?
No.
Oh. I'm very excited to hear what it did, that's all.
I'm sure.
This is a time of mourning where sometimes we see that stuff.
I don't have them.
Okay.
But Sci-Fi has announced another series they're working on about the granddaughter of Wyatt Earp called Winona Earp.
Okay.
It's a cross between Justified and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they say.
Okay.
So that's just been announced.
I'd like to say Sci-Fi, don't take it easy.
Hey, come on. They know what they're doing.
All right.
Speaking of Sci-Fi, you know we're talking to tomorrow, don't you?
I don't know. Ralph who?
We're talking to the Goot!
Steve Guttenberg.
The
Goot. Your co-star in Lavalanche.
My boy, the Goot.
Ralph, how much Ralph am I getting in my Lavalanche?
You'll get,
more than I did in Sharktopus?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You'll get 20 minutes of me.
20
oh,
minutes?
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
All right. I spent a big chunk of the film running around with Guttenberg and another very funny, talented actor named Patrick Renna, who you may remember from Sandlot.
And who do you play in this Lavalanchula?
I play Pirate Jack.
Pirate Jack.
Yes. I play a down-on-his-luck movie stuntman, who has lost an arm.
Okay.
Who now has a hook.
Just tell me you have an eye patch.
I have an eye patch.
All right.
Parrot? Really?
Yep. You have a parrot?
I do have a parrot. for a portion of the film, I have a parrot.
Did they CGI your arm off?
Or? I have been reduced to panhandling outside Grauman's Chinese Theater as a sort of poor man's...
poor man is in it?
Pirate who poses for pictures with the kids and stuff like that, like a
sure.
movie pirate. Because no one wants to hire a one-armed stuntman, really. So I'm reduced to panhandling and sort of pretending to be one of those characters in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. When I run into my old buddy Colton, played by Steve Guttenberg, we work together. He's a former action star.
Okay.
Actor. And we run into each other, and then I join up forces with him as we battle the giant lava-spewing spiders of Lavalanche. Which leads us on a merry chase from Hollywood all the way up to the La Brea Tar Pits, where we finally confront the giant spiders.
Quite the journey.
It's quite a trip.
It is. In my pirate mobile. I drive
you have
pirate
mobile.
I do have an old Cadillac convertible that I use as the pirate mobile, and I give...
I feel like with Sharknado 3 last night, I'm not sure I'm ready for this much goodness on Saturday.
You are going to need at least two bowls.
Okay.
To get through Lavalanche.
All right.
Two bowls and some Jaeger, I think, would be a good recipe.
That's the name of my autobiography.
What's your character's name, Ralph?
I told you, Pirate Jack, goddammit.
Pirate,
damn it.
Oh, Pirate Jack.
Why don't you pay attention? I said that 3 minutes ago.
He'll hit you with his good hand.
I'm not trying to get any kind of spoiler, spoil about the film out of you right now. But... is there room for Pirate Jack in Lavalanche 2 or not? Maybe he's not available.
I'm not at liberty
okay,
to discuss that.
Okay.
I just need you to know that I played Captain Jack in Sharknado, and now I'm Pirate Jack in this film. It seems to be some sort of trend with me in sci-fi. Hmm. I don't know what's happening. But.
Well, I'm very excited by it.
Well, I think we all are. Today's celebrity birthdays.
And now, breaking news, board.
It's already gone. No more tweets. Everybody seems to be making up and happy.
No! This is a colossal disaster.
That may apply to this particular showbiz beat. Slash is 50 today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Woody Harrelson's 54. Martin Gore, also 54. Charisma Carpenter's 45. Marlon Wayans is 43. Paul Wesley, Stefan from Vampire Diaries, is 33 years old today. And Daniel Radcliffe celebrates his 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat because it's Friday. Like Ralph mentioned, we're talking to the Goot, Steve Guttenberg, about Lavalantula, which is this Saturday night. And we have the star of Pixels, Josh Gad, on the program tomorrow as well.